Go ahead, you're on.
Okay, welcome everybody to our January 26th meeting. We'll have a call to order. Please.
Open prayer?
Well, that's next. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Let's open up. We're going to open with prayer.
All right. Hey, let's bow our heads in prayer if we could, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for how you have blessed us individually and collectively. We thank you for this community. We ask your blessings upon it. And Father, we look to you this evening for discernment, enlightenment, and reveal things to us very clearly as they make decisions for the best of the community and the people that live in it. Lord, we thank you for all those who serve on this board, all those who serve as first responders and the leadership, the men and women in charge of maintenance. But Father, we also thank you that all of us come together who live in this community, and our concern is for it to better. Not that it's bad, but Lord, we want the best. And so help us, Father, now tonight, give clarity in our conversation, and may our spirits be good. And may we dwell together with unity and a love for each other. All in the name of Jesus, I pray these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You pledge? Some of you are new. Reverend Womack is our pastor for the police department.
Please, chaplain. Yes, sir.
So,
pledge allegiance.
Everybody will stand for the pledge of allegiance. Let me just bring here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I was just helping.
I had sick mouth.
Roll call.
Roll call.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. New business?
Okay.
Guest speaker?
Guest speaker was supposed to be Adam Miller. I don't believe he's here tonight. He was our state representative. He's not here tonight. We have another guest speaker, Jared
Connor.
Yep. From Just Energy Affinity Program.
And if I can, we've been down at the convention for trustees, Ohio Trustees Association, and they had a booth down there, and we saw some of the information that they had, and I thought it would be nice to invite them to come tonight and share a little bit about energy, aggregation?
It's different than aggregation, but yes, it's a little,
we do that. I'll let you go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, that was one of the questions at the conference, as opposed to an opt-in, opt-out program, which a lot of townships have, and they do their bidding for those type things. We're a natural gas and electricity supplier in North America, and for deregulated states, your utility bill wouldn't change. We have the ability to get a line item change for natural gas and electricity. And as opposed to a salesman going door to door to try to switch you over to supply, we've cut out the salesman for a program that we have in which the commission that a salesman would have received, we give it as a donation to partners that we partner with, whether it's a township, any type of nonprofit. So in this case, a township. How it would work is we would come up with an exclusive natural gas and electricity rate that would be for your residents, really whomever that you'd want to pass them out to, rather through the mail, just letting them know through social media, any way that a township would want to do it. At that point, there's no obligation. Obviously, that's the difference a little bit between the opt-in and opt-out. There's no obligation. If a resident would like to look at the rates and inform or enroll with us one way or another per commodity, we in turn would make a donation to our partner. So in this case, the township. Townships have taken advantage of it. They give it to any type of initiative they have. Some, they're wanting to buy a new fire truck, or they're wanting to outfit their fire department with new gear, or we talked to someone today, they want to finish a trail for their park. So they would let their residents know, you're saving money on your natural gas and electricity through this partnership. So it's only available exclusively through the partnership, and then in turn, a donation is being made in your name to the township to go towards X, whatever initiative X is. Another couple other benefits that we've made exclusively for the partners, their supporters, their residents. There's also a loyalty program, which you would automatically get enrolled into. It's called Just Energy Perks. You would get points per commodity that you sign up. So if you sign up for electricity and gas, you would get 5,000 points. Every quarter, you would get, as you're a customer, you get points added into the account. They can be used for many things. I'll tell you, I personally did my 5,000 points. I got a $50 Visa prepaid gift card right away when I became a customer. You can also get energy efficient products, thermostats, programmable thermostats, shower heads, because we also have a lot of energy efficient programs. So that's another benefit once they enroll with us. And then also the benefit of going, knowing a donation's being made to the township to go towards some type of worthy cause that they have to make the township better. And then also, we have a lot of different options as well for the township as a partner. If you own a restaurant in town or anything along those lines, we'll also look at commercial natural gas and electricity as well and come up with a competitive rate for you, being from the affinity partnership. That would hopefully save your business money as well, and then in turn, a donation would be made to the township as well to go towards whatever it is.
What about, if you could explain, there's a lot of them out there where, mm-hmm. let's say, for instance, they get in and they don't like it, and yes. then it's like a cell phone, well, I'm stuck for 2 years or a year. How does that work?
So you're not stuck with us, which is the good news. We have a brand promise. In which as long as, and it could be for any type of reason, if you're not happy with whatever, you give us a call. Obviously, as a customer service rep, they're going to try to keep you on as a customer. But if you say, no, I'm done, I just want to go back to my utility as a supply, we will waive the no early termination fee, and you'll go back to your utility or wherever you were previously. But your utility bill doesn't change, just for those that are a little confused with that, which I was when I first came on board. You will still receive your utility because they're delivering it. We're just supplying it to them. It's a line item on the bill that would change.
So if electricity goes up, mm-hmm. does yours go up?
There's two different types of...
down, does yours stay at that rate?
There's two packages that would be available to once they go on to sign up. One is what we call an unlimited plan. So you would go on, you have to have your utility bill because they'll ask you for your consumption and the computer will print out, and it's called the unlimited plan, but it's a predictive bill. So depending on how much you've consumed in the last 12 months, they'll have a formula of a X amount of dollars. So let's just say it's $50. Your bill will stay, at that line item will stay at $50 every month. Rather you go above that, like in the wintertime, say for natural gas, it's very cold and you consume more, you're still going to pay the 50. Now, there are some months that you may have consumed less, but you're still going to pay the 50. So it's just a know that you're at that rate every month. That's one, and it's been very popular, especially in Illinois and Ohio, our two Midwest states that have the unlimited plan.
Yeah, but how about if,
like AEP and the gas
you
price
get
goes
to
up
the
and
point
down.
Where it's set at 50, mm-hmm. and every month you're spending 60 or 70. Don't you surely give them back down?
You're locked in at the $50.
Okay.
So it's
so
you know.
Then, but then if you drop down to every month you're paying $30, you're still going to pay 50.
If you yep, and if you find out for some reason, the formula is very well computed, so they're not going to have that $50 and knowing you're never going to go above that. No, it's going to be a little bit of this and you're still at the $50. Now with the market change, we also have that as another product offer. For some people, if you live in an apartment by yourself in a very small studio apartment, etc., the unlimited plan really may not make sense. So we have that, which the utility has, the variable rate, where it will be the market value. It usually doesn't change. Maybe every 6 months or so, the market will change to the
so it's almost like locking in at a cheap
and we're going, but we'll discount whatever it would have been. So if just the regular consumer was to go online to switch over to Just Energy, whatever their rate would have been offered, we're going to discount it for our affinity partners. So it'll be cheaper than what it would have been available for just someone just to go on Just Energy's website to enroll.
So we had someone we tried aggregate before, and it was a guaranteed savings of 10%.
Yeah, and so some states, it just depends on the market, how competitive you can be in each market. So for example, in another state, that unlimited plan for affinity partners, it'll be whatever that, so $50 is the number I'm using. If it was $50, whatever that regular customer would have had for 50, we discount it by $5 for affinity partners. So that would be the savings on that plan. a variable rate. It's not a certain percentage. It's whatever the rate is, you know, the market is that month. It may be for gas 2 cents, but it's going to be a discount of what the regular market would have been.
The other one was like there would never be a gap. In other words, it was like this. Say this was AEP and this was yours. If they went up, yours went up. There was never any difference between that gap.
Yeah, you could
never flip-flop it.
Yeah, because of the market rate, it really just depends on where the market's at the time. Some suppliers are more of they're estimating where you're going to be, say, in 12 months. So I can tell you right now, natural gas is an all-time low. So they're anticipating that next winter it will go back up to where it's been in the past. But it will never dramatically change from the utility at that point.
What I've seen in some of the different, I'm going to call it aggregates, energy consumption, is just what you said. Right now, natural gas is at its lowest point. There's people that are probably, if they looked at their bills that are with other companies, are probably locked in at a higher rate than what Columbia Gas is now. So basically, they're this way versus this way. How does that work for you guys? Do you pretty much like lock in at a certain rate?
It really depends on the state and the competitiveness. I know that in Ohio, it's one of our most competitive states. It just depends on the market. Like in with the affinities, it's a little different numbers. So I can only tell you that with the discount, with the $5 per the unlimited plan, and that comes back to our no brand promise, because we've had in the past, like you said, they're locked in at a rate right now that's as much higher than what the actual rate is. If that were to happen, if that's one of the many things that could arise with anything, like you said, with your cable bill or anything, if you give us a call instead of saying, I'm sorry, you're locked in for 2 months or two more years, and when you have a $250 exit fee, we waive the exit fee. You know, we're obviously going to try to keep you on, maybe even present you a better offer, like a retention rate type thing. But there's no obligation, and that's, I think, what's unique, and I think that's what drew your interest at the convention, the trade show, was that no one's obligated to do this, as opposed to, you know, like an aggregate opt-in, opt-out, where there's a maximum number of enrollments we want from you. You know, it's a benefit for your residents to show them, hopefully, a savings on their natural gas or electricity or both, and then in turn knowing a donation's going towards whichever thing you're looking to add funds towards.
Is this something like what you're saying, the voters have to pass this, or?
Personally, I've never had to have it go to a vote, because it's not an aggregate. Because everybody in this room, you know, that you could send it to them through the mail if you want, and not one of them has to sign up.
Okay, so this is pretty much the board would decide to go with you, and then they send literature out to everybody and say, you want to, it's up to you, you do, it's up. You can or not.
Yep, no minimum, no maximum enrollments.
The only other thing I will say on that is you would have to promote it, because the township cannot.
And I was going to come to that point as well. We handle all, so the postcards that is for the potential partner presentations, this is all I have with me because I was down here. Say you want to promote it in a postcard form like that as a mailer, we'll do it all for you. We'll do it all for you. We'll market it however you want, however you need or find the best way to reach your residents, we will do it for you. And I have had partners, as you said, because it's not something that you're required to do. You know, I've had partners that were very excited about it, and then it just didn't really take off. But then I've had other partners that, I mean, we just wrote a check the other day for about $70,000 to a nonprofit in Illinois. For an initiative they had. It goes towards a soup kitchen, actually. Actually, another partner is our Brooklyn, New York Chamber of Commerce. They frame it to their residents as a savings for them, and then the donation is going towards the Brooklyn, New York soup kitchen network that they have. So that's where the donation, so they know where the donation's going.
Right.
It's transparent, whatever it is that you guys would have as an initiative.
So it's
anybody
a win-win.
Anybody from the audience have any questions?
Yeah, I know. Back in like 2010, 2011, the state of Ohio
fined, Just Energy, for a pretty substantial amount of money.
Really? In Ohio?
Yes.
Okay.
For their sales practices, the door-to-door sales practices.
And I can address that.
So yeah. I'm just wondering, it sounds like you've eliminated that.
Yeah. Well, it's not eliminated per se, but I will say...
A different strategy to that. So what makes customers that maybe were with you at that time that were impacted by the inflation of their bill going up, and that's kind of where some of that came in, what's different now?
So the new... And if you go look online, it is there. We've since basically replaced our entire, from the CEO's down, our owner, our chairman of the board has completely changed all management. I mean, literally every single upper management is completely different since then. And since then, if you search online, now we're back to all, there's not negative anymore at all.
I've seen that, but I just was interested to know what the strategy was to turn the tide. From being in a place where you had to pay quite a substantial deposit in Ohio, then to come back, clean the slate, start again. Did you have any impact from that?
Honestly, no. I think that I normally do. I'm glad you asked. I would. It is out there. And it's something that they have. This is where this program really has become the new initiative, and that I can walk in now, and I'm an employee of Just Energy, so you can. It's very. I'm transparent in that. I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to say it's this rate, and which right or wrong, door to door sales for any type of company tends to lead to negative reviews
or misunderstandings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you are guaranteed, and it's in our terms and conditions when you sign up, that $5 or below, whatever that rate is. You know, I personally might sign on without putting the promo code in and see that the $5 is there, because it is. Or in Michigan, for example, where we have, it's a different type because we don't have the unlimited plan. We're only a natural gas supplier up there. You know, if you sign in differently, you see that, and it's right in the, when you sign up online. There's
so it seems a little more transparent.
Very transparent and very front and center. Yeah. It's an online sign up, so it's laid out right on the sheet, on the form that you're enrolling with how you're saving being an affiliate of the affinity partner.
Is all the application stuff through electronic? What if you have people that don't go online to
anybody?
We have a customer service team.
I understand.
So when it's all, you would basically get my phone number on any collateral. So if you have any questions, it would come to me personally. It wouldn't go to a customer service team. It's going to come to me, the Midwest representative. And then if someone says, I don't have a computer, I'm not comfortable doing it on the computer, then we would hand it over to our customer service team where it's recorded for legal purposes and commission purposes, and they would walk you through the process to do it for you.
It sounds like it protects the company as well as the customer.
Correct. Yep.
And just to add to that, my name is Natalia. I'm also with Just Energy. I'm actually from the Houston office, but helping my partner out over here for this event. Just to add to what you were saying as far as the door-to-door sales, one of the changes that Just Energy made was the door-to-door sales were independent contractors, meaning they were not employed by Just Energy. So they did sell our products and they were licensed to sell our products. However, that was one of the changes that Just Energy has made recently. And that's to basically transform all of the independent contractors to actual employees. So they're going through extensive training to really communicate the right information to the customers out there. So if you do see a door-to-door salesperson, now it's going to be, again, to what Jerry was saying, it's going to be very transparent now. So that's one of the changes that we... started making.
Well, I just know a lot of our residents in Franklin Township, they read. They're they're fairly educated. Right. They still read the paper dispatch,
Absolutely.
And many of them keep stuff archived in their head.
Oh, yeah.
And so remembering these incidents from 5, 6, 7 years ago, that's going to be something that you're going to have to sell past.
Right, and that's where I love to have my contact information. I want them to call me so I can give them the ease of, telling you the changes and how the ICs are now heavily trained through us, as opposed to, like a lot of ICs, just the way of the land. It is, call me, and then the whole goal is to get those positive experiences at this point, and go back on and see the positive reviews now of the changes, and then once they, gain, I guess, the trust back at this point.
Sure.
Because it was, 6 years ago, and we've had a significant and myself included, significant changeover, and with across the board, executively down to a business development manager in the Midwest. So
sure.
It's been a significant overhaul within the company.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem. Yes.
We have an older home, and we've been doing some updates. For example, we had a 30-year-old furnace. We just put in a 95% efficient furnace. Will you be in the position to direct us which way to go when our bills start to come in?
As far as?
You can't take my bills from last year.
Oh, okay. Well, if we would have your most recent bill at that point. I would personally recommend, and you can change the plans, so that second plan with the variable rate, because it doesn't go on consumption, it's just the market rate at that time, you may want to start with that, with the discounted rate there, and then once you start getting that new bill with your consumption, but at the same time, it's because you'll be saving on consumption. So you would probably have a higher number than what you're consuming anyways. So if you saw that, you would give us a call as well, and then we would revisit it. But I would personally recommend going to that variable rate at that point, just to start out, or wait a couple months till you get a better idea with your new bill. But it goes back to, again, that would be an issue if you weren't aware of that, which some people are not aware, that would lower your bill tremendously with your new furnace. If they all of a sudden see this bill and they're not happy with our zero brand, they would call in and we would waive the early termination. You could go back to your utility at that point. Yes.
So why would we consider natural gas as an option when the price of renewables is quickly dropping below and becoming lower and the most cost-effective way to fuel it? Also, when that can be generated right here in our backyards where Ohio jobs can create solar and wind throughout the state.
And hope to have solar here soon.
So would that
states.
Be part of
it's different
the
states.
Energy mix?
As of right now, we don't have solar in Ohio. It's slowly growing within our company. It's in California, New York, I think Pennsylvania even has it now, so it's getting close. This is mainly an offer for those who are right now paying natural gas, but at the same time, we also have our perks program, because with all our energy efficient products that would help with costs along the way, and then also it's not rolled out yet, but we're coming up with new ways to help the consumer become more aware of products. It's going to be a Midwest. It's just not out quite yet. It's very similar to the like the Dollar Shave Club you see online. It's like a subscription service that you would, if you're so interested, you could subscribe to, like a monthly subscription. It's called Just Energy Club, and they would send you a package like every month of different energy efficient products to go into your home. But to answer your question, right now we don't have, as far as solar goes, in Ohio, but we will be looking to help you as best we can as far as green initiatives go for electricity and gas.
So to follow up, you said that you wanted to like sell energy efficient products to consumers. So that would be anyone in the township would now be getting asked to buy additional products?
You're not necessarily asked, but that Just Energy Perks program that I spoke about, that you would get the points. So it's a $50 Visa gift card for 5,000 points because it's a non-energy efficient. The 5,000 is a $50 value for that, but it's a $100 value for the energy efficient products online. So we're not necessarily going to call you and say, hey, are you interested in doing this? We're not going to bother you with that, and solicit your calls. But you can go onto our website and get basically energy efficient products at a 50% discount from that site because you're an enrollee of Just Energy.
Like light bulbs and...
There's light bulbs. I can tell you there's a list of basically what if 5,000 points could get you. It's a pretty significant list, from a shower head to light bulbs. And also, to go with the light bulb point, when you become a member of Just Energy, you automatically get 2 free LED light bulbs sent to you as like a thank you for becoming a customer as well. I always forget to say that, but you get 2 free LED light bulbs as well. They last a long time. Some people aren't fans of them. I mean, I love them, so.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize. Yeah. If he still has another question.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to jump in there. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, I will say, it's like the curly Q things. I hate those for my house.
Yep.
But it's been, it's hard to believe this, but it's been almost 4 years ago.
And it's still probably...
I bought them for a lady down here. She was talking about our garage, and I bought them for her. She had an outside lamp, and I put them in my garage, and they're still there today.
Yep. Yeah, I'm like you. When I first saw them, I was like, what? And then they last a long time.
But they're newer now. They're a whiter light. The old ones was a yellow dull. Yep. So, yeah.
We have anywhere from, programmable thermostats that will be at a 50% from anywhere from a Honeywell that you would see at Home Depot to our own almost exclusive. It's an Ecobee that has sensors you can put in other rooms. So when the other room gets cooler, your heater will turn, your furnace will turn on. There's all kinds of things on the website. So it's just your preference of what you'd like, and you get points every quarter you're a member to whether you want to just get a $50 gift card to Red Robin to get energy efficient products. It's just added a perk and a thank you for being a customer of ours.
Now, refrigerator, dishwasher, stuff like that on there?
What is that?
Refrigerator items, like...
I haven't seen a refrigerator items, actually.
I'm trying to think of what was in our energy kit we had on display today. We have water tank storage that you can put in your toilet, the water doesn't fill all the way when you...
Nothing big appliance-wise.
No, not like a full refrigerator.
We're talking a little...
Yep, anything energy efficient to add.
Let's say when you say energy efficient, you can buy an energy efficient refrigerator.
Right, no, there's not a full appliance, right?
But we do have something really neat. It's actually an appliance that you can connect it to different appliances that you have at your home.
Oh, yeah.
So if it was a fridge or if it was a microwave, you can plug it into this little gadget, and it'll give you the kilowatt hours that particular item is using.
It's called a kilowatt.
So you'll be able to see what it is that you're using the most, whether it's your washer, your dryer, whatever it is. You'll be able to see what it is that you're using the most, so that way you can gauge
smart
what you need to turn off
like
or whatnot.
The other thing that I did see that was neat was those, you take your plate off and you had those insulation.
It's a foam, yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a foam for the...
A cover.
For the outlet.
The back side. For the outside wall.
Right, and we don't know this, but, there's constantly air coming in and out of that, right? And so these are foams that you can actually put behind the...
It's a foam cover.
Foam cover, and it'll insulate the air. So once you add all these items up, something that's really neat on the JE Perks website that we have, it's you can actually... redeem these points through packages, and it'll come with all these different gadgets. And in that, it'll actually give you an estimate of how much you can actually save at your house. So one of the biggest packages, it's you can save up to $7,000 a year if you use all those items that they're in there. And it'll break it down how it is that you can save. So it's something really neat that. You know, you get educated about how it is that you can save in different ways, right? So it's something, another value.
And our tagline is, we want to be your trusted energy advisor, and we truly mean that. If you really want to take off, some people, they don't even pay attention to the perks points. Other people, like sounds like yourself would be, and me included, I went through that website, I scoured it, just to see what there was. I would have never known about those foam things that you can put in the back of your socket. So if we have trusted energy advisors that you can call in, and they can give you recommendations on those type of things as well.
Okay, any other questions?
I have a question as well. For anyone that would be interested in signing up for this, and they can go online and do it online, and as they're going through the process, are they able to see an example of what their new bill would look like, including both charges from Just Energy as well as the charges from their existing utility?
We would have no control of whatever the utility, whatever their delivery charges are.
Delivery,
I can tell you. Yeah, there's one line item on your utility bill that probably, for myself, I'll tell you, when mine was a utility. And when I switched over to Just Energy, it just drops below and says Just Energy natural gas supply with the new rate, rather whatever that rate is. That's the only thing that would change on the bill itself.
It's just the rate itself.
I think what he's trying to say is, can you see in the future what will my bill be?
No, and that's just because we don't have control over knowing what. It's similar to like a cable bill with all their taxes and stuff. That's all utility based. I can't tell you what that is. I don't know what their utility.
But someplace along the line, when you say that magic number, say $50, mm-hmm. you're going to have to know that before you would sign up. So.
Well, that would, yes, that part is on the screen. So there's like a, it's like a five-step process. And if you have your utility bill in front of you, we can, you can be done in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Signing up. But one of the screens does, it's almost like a confirmation. It's laying out, you're going to get these many points into Just Energy Perks. Here's your new rate. You're getting 2 free LED light bulbs.
Okay.
Do I confirm?
I think that's what you were asking.
Well, he wanted to
actually,
see
how... Actually, he knew what I was asking about the line item charges.
Yeah.
Robin, you had a question?
Yeah, I'll try to make this quick. Maybe I misunderstood you at the very, very beginning.
Sure.
When you presented, started out, you said, to make Just Energy different, blah, 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 that you, I don't know what your wording was, but something about the door-to-door. And instead of having door-to-door, they use that money to give back to the townships mm-hmm. or communities or whoever they are. My question, you said that there's salespeople now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's door-to-door people. So where is the money coming from that would then go to the township? Because if I want to sign up, I would only sign up because not necessarily savings, but if I know that I'm helping the township financially.
I think, yeah.
But you said you got so salespeople, so I'm a little confused.
If a salesman came to your door and signed you up, first off, this exclusive affinity rate, they don't have that. This is our program, affinity program, so the $5 off the unlimited plan. If a salesman came to your door to a town that's not a partner of us, whatever, and they sign up, they're getting their commission for signing people up.
That makes sense. This is different.
This, it's not a commission. It's a donation. But essentially, the commission, because of this partnership, goes to our partner, so a township.
Does the partners know if there's a guesstimate of a percentage? Like when you're talking about people paving parks and buying trucks
sure.
and doing all...
It's
if you can say... If you get, you know, out of the 3,500 residents in Franklin Township, if 10% sign up, we're looking at a 3% donation to you.
It's a flat donation per enrollment.
Okay.
It's a flat dollar amount that would go. So if you sign up for electricity and gas, it would be that flat amount times
gotcha.
Two.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And is nothing. There a yearly that keeps coming, or is that
there yet? There is not, and that's where the commercial
one time sign up.
For residential, it's a one-time donation.
Okay.
For the commercial, it's a ongoing yearly, as long as they're a customer, a residual donation made to you based on their consumption.
Okay.
So that's the difference there.
Okay. That's, I was a little bit confused.
Okay, one quick question to the audience. Does anybody sound like this or something that the township residents will be interested in? Show your hands. Only have one person out of everybody that's interested in it. Okay. You got our contact information.
Sure.
And I think here's mine. I think you got John's.
Yep.
We make sure we got yours. We've got a meeting, kind of a quarterly meeting with our department heads and everything on the 30th. We can discuss this a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah, and I'll just end it in saying it's like I said, it's a no obligation. It would just be an added benefit for your residents if one person out of 10, you know, it's not like I'm going to
right. Understand
close
that.
Up shop with you.
And like I say, it's nobody has to sign up. Nobody has to vote on it. And
right.
you send 5,000 letters out, only 5 have to sign up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where your yearly thing comes in. Maybe those 5, maybe it's just 5 the first time around, and maybe those 5 have a great experience, and they start telling their neighbors.
Right.
And then we send it out again, and then they have heard about right. this experience. Okay. So it can easily grow, or maybe...
Stay at 5.
Maybe, yeah. And
it's a win-win on
both
sides.
And I'm going to keep trying it. I'm going to keep trying it with you as long as you want to keep trying it. And nothing, it's going to be no cost to you.
Okay.
The other question,
sure.
One question. If we sign up as a recipient of the township, mm-hmm. does that mean that we could get credit for someone outside the township as well?
Sure. If you have a son that lives
in
Sandusky,
yeah,
up
right.
in North Ohio, that's Northeast before. Ohio, they as long as you use your promo code, they'll get the same offer.
Gotcha.
And they'll be able to enroll as well. Yes.
Okay, so
it's not just limited to
the
Franklin
township.
Residents.
Right. As long as they use our
so
code.
Like if Bruce City said, hey, we want to do it too, and we're like, here's our promo code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Okay.
That would be nice. If there's nothing else, we'll discuss this, get back with you. Make
okay,
sure
great.
You got the contacts here.
I'm always available, and I'm always down in the area.
Give you mine. So. I think you got John's.
Sure.
And I think make sure we got your contact.
Okay.
And then don't know if you give us, John, your card. Or
I have. I can leave. I can leave a couple of them too.
As long as you got the chairs.
Right. Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just leave a stack.
Okay. And we will.
We'll leave a stack up here in case someone wants to grab a card.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, any questions? Feel free to get a hold
of me. You got one?
Okay.
I do.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming out.
Next guest speaker.
Next guest speaker, we got Kathy Baxter from the Bureau of Workman's Comp.
We just sat through a whole meeting of this.
Excuse my voice. I'm slowly losing it, and I have a cough drop, so pardon me for that. Hopefully I can talk long enough without coughing and running out of the room. But I actually work for CareWorks. I don't work for the Bureau.
Okay.
I work for CareWorks. And
third party, correct?
No.
No?
And I wanted to clarify that, yeah. So I work for the managed care organization portion of CareWorks. So we have six different divisions of our company. The third-party administrator, and you work with Andy Frank, he and his team work on your group discounts. So the third-party administrator is more of the financial arm when it comes to the workers' comp piece. You pay them directly for their services to help reduce your rates and reduce costs on your claims. The managed care organization, which is just CareWorks and the company I work for, we handle the medical part of the claims. Mm-hmm. So when someone's injured, we are the group that approves or denies treatment based on the claim allowances. We are, our main focus is return to work. We partner with our customers and townships to make sure you have injury reporting packets, injury reporting procedures, so that if somebody is injured, and they had a legitimate injury at work, they're getting the care that they need, but ultimately they're getting back to work as quickly and safely as possible.
Right.
And you do not pay us directly. We are actually paid through the state's premiums that you pay them. So the Bureau is the state. That's who you pay your premiums to. They're the ones that approve or deny the conditions of the claim. Example of that is, let's say someone fell down, has a back injury. The Bureau determines that person has a back sprain. The doctor sends in and wants treatment for a herniated disc. We can't approve or pay for treatment for that herniated disc unless the Bureau, the main entity there that makes that decision, says, yes, that condition is part of the claim. So we do help maintain costs by being diligent with the medical side and making sure that we are not approving or paying for treatment that are not allowed in the allowed conditions for the claim.
I got a couple questions.
Sure.
It's just ironic that we sat through class. Chief, mm-hmm. you want to come up here too in case you want to, because I know you were in the class too. Mm-hmm. We currently are using who as a third party? I mean, how is...
That's who she's
talking
about.
We have Andy Frank.
CareWorks Comp.
Okay.
CareWorks Comp.
So we are with them.
We're with them.
Okay. So we're under same ownership, but we're two separate entities.
Okay.
So you have third party, which is Andy's team, that's mm-hmm. CareWorks Comp. They're the ones that handle your group discounts and your financials.
Because I thought when we were looking at that, aren't we able to handle that ourselves for the discounted rates?
That's a totally different area than what she's talking about.
Okay.
Okay. And then so with the managed care, we don't invoice you, so if you get an invoice, that's from CareWorks Comp, because they are your advocate, you pay them directly. Basically, you hire them to be your representative and help reduce your costs. They would attend hearings on your behalf if there's some kind of dispute or appeal process going on. They're the ones that would handle that for you.
Okay.
So anything medically related to the workers' compensation would be CareWorks Managed Care Organization. So in the premiums that you pay the state of Ohio, the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, there is a portion of that that is sent to the managed care companies for doing our job. It's not as simple as, well, yeah, Franklin Township works with us, so here's some money. We actually have to perform. We have to show how diligent we are with processing the first report of injuries if somebody's been injured. We have time frames for that. Same with return to work. Medical bills, we have to be accurate in our medical bill processing, otherwise, you know, the Bureau kind of marks a check mark against us for that. So there's a lot of different components involved with our processes at CareWorks for us to get paid by the Bureau. We are a separate company. We are a private company, so we are not a part of the Bureau. But in 1997, the Bureau decided we can't do this. We can't manage all these claims as effectively as we want. So they came up with a health partnership, and they decided, let's have managed care organizations. So currently there's 14 managed care organizations in Ohio, and because the Bureau basically couldn't take on the role of managing the claims, because as you can imagine how many there are in the state of Ohio, they basically outsource the medical management, and that's what we do.
John, when somebody gets hurt, she calls me up and says, do you guys agree or disagree with the claim?
Gotcha.
And we're like, eh, we agree with this. So we have a choice, either fight it or don't fight it. And so that's what they do.
So basically, she would go forth where we were in a class, they would be one-on-one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So it's telephonic case management is what we do.
Okay.
So we have case specialists, we have nurse case managers. So if someone had a severe injury and needed surgery, we have nurses available for that telephonic communication. And we work with all parties in the claim. We work with the employer. We work with the doctor. If they have an attorney, sometimes we have to work with them as well, and the Bureau. So we have to collect all the medical information to make sure that the Bureau has what they need so that the claim ends up being allowed if it's legitimate, and they have all the documentation in place to make that decision.
What there was a lot of talk up there was bringing people back, getting them off of the workers' comp.
Right, right.
So, mm-hmm. so that they come back here.
Bring them into a slow process, light duty.
Or mm-hmm. And working them back into
yeah.
the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the transition. So that's part of our job. We are always going to pursue a light duty return to work. And then if you can't accommodate it, we can look at some other options that are, might be available. Ultimately, we want them to come back to work here. This is where they're most comfortable. But in some situations, depending on what they do, you can't.
Right.
Their restrictions are too limited.
Excuse
the
me,
other what? Option?
Yeah, the other option of not having light duty.
If you don't have light duty, so you either then they're off work and you pay their wages, or the Bureau pays their compensation for being off work because you can't accommodate them. Or there's another program, it's called Modified Duty Offsite, where you actually send them to work at a nonprofit.
Okay.
Now, do you guys have unions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it gets a little bit tricky sometimes when there's unions involved, and sometimes literature needs to be changed the next time you do your contract. But that is another option and a service that a different division of our company does offer. So you're going to pay them because they're working light duty. They're still your employee. They still follow your HR policies and procedures, but they're not just sitting at home.
Right.
And they're not getting paid township money, or they're not getting paid through workers' comp, which then in turn raises your rates on the workers' comp side.
Mm-hmm. Anybody got any questions?
No.
I'll give you my cell phone number too, just so you know what I mean directly.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
We thank you for coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't shake your hand. I'm not going to shake your hand because you shake your coffin.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
You shake your coffin, so I'm not going to shake your hand.
Yeah. Yes. I
understand. Just thank you very much for coming.
I was at the conference all day today as well. Well, most of the day. And I know everyone that came up. I actually think people avoided my booth. And they heard me coughing. Yeah, we're just going to skip her.
Yeah, we passed your booth.
I won't be offended.
Yeah, we passed
your booth. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You could spray it off.
You could spray it.
Spray it off.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
I'm so glad you got the comp.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's the date of those minutes?
January 12th.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to pass the minutes for January the 12th with corrections. We point out the corrections. You got those?
Yes, sir, I do.
I'll second that.
Thank you. John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, John.
John, you got the resolutions?
Resolutions 17040. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves payroll in the amount of $113,893.26 from check number 41968 to check number 42045.
I need a second, please. John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, we've got some other resolutions. And like I say, on the back of your agenda, you'll find a whole list of bills. Remember I told you since the meeting we didn't have in December, we would put those bills out. So these bills go clear back through October. There's all of December's on there, January. No, just all December and January bills is on the bottom on the back side of your agenda. I'd like to make a motion to pass Resolution 17041. This is pay Bruner for our air conditioner work at 192, $1,926.06.
Need a second, please?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Make a motion to pass Resolution 17042. This is to pay Richard Ford for the road department at $2,793.75 at engine repair.
I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Make a motion to pass Resolution 17044. This is to Goodyear.
192.
Evidently for engine repair on 192, $1,269.84. This is what the wing foot down here.
It's engine one. Yeah, wing foot. 192 is the front tire. Okay. Need replaced. Okay.
I need a second, please.
I'll second.
John.
Yes.
Don.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Make a motion pass Resolution 17045. Mm-hmm. This is to pay, or this is for,
to rescind.
This is we're going to
rescind resolution.
Wait a minute now. We're to rescind Resolution 17028 to sell three police cruisers
to New Holland Police Department.
To New Holland for $6,000. That didn't go through.
I do believe that the resolution 17-028 that we are rescinding was for him to put those cars on GovDots. Gov. So we are rescinding that because we are selling them to New Holland Police Department.
Yeah, this year was kind of mistyped.
Okay.
So we're going to rescind the resolution to put this on .gov deals.
Okay.
And we've made an agreement to sell the cars to New Holland Police Department for $6,000.
Oh, okay. $6,000. I don't have a... John?
Yes.
You seconding? Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
That was 17045?
Okay, now.
Yes.
So I'm clear on this. We're using the same resolution to rescind?
No. We're using 17-045 to rescind Resolution 17-028.
Okay, gotcha.
Because this one here was to sell on
.gov, right.
But we're not going to use this. We're rescinding it.
Okay.
And we're going to sell the cars to New Holland Police Department for $6,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's all one
resolution. It's just the way she's
it's just,
read it.
Just all one resolution.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
17045. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Make a motion to pass Resolution 17046. This is pay or transfer $1,749 from the general fund to permissive motor vehicle fund.
A second, please.
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Go ahead.
When Lisa, with this, because I didn't know that this was happening, when did this transfer need to happen into that fund?
You gave me a piece of paper for us to...
Oh, okay. It wasn't... I'm not low on funds. That was... I know what it is now. I'm sorry.
You told me to put it in there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It was a bill that I gave you. That's what
right,
I was
right,
thinking.
Right, right. But it was over $1,000.
That's why I was double-checking.
Yeah, it was over $1,000, so I had to
ask. Yeah, I was just being over-observant.
Okay. Fire Department Chief Welch.
No, me first.
Oh, Chief Adams.
Chief Adams.
Chief Adams.
First,
Do it to it.
First, I wanted to, since BWC, she just left, we also received a rebate. I was playing around with that BWC grant we received.
Okay.
We passed resolution last meeting. Also received a 3% rebate for the township-wide digging into the BWC website and dealing with the grant folks, we found a thing called the ISSP rebate. It's something that I'm going to probably have to work with Lisa on down the road. Right now, I'm trying to, she has enough on her plate, I'm trying to deal with it. But overall, it's 3% rebate we're going to get yearly on our total cost to BWC. So, I don't have an exact, it just depends on what we pay into BWC this year. You know, usually it's $100,000 to $150,000 a year. So regardless, we're going to get 3% back by just doing a little bit of work with BWC. So that's good news. We got that little extra money in the pocket.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Next, it's been a busy year, as we talked about last week. Especially these past 2 weeks. It's been a busy year so far, but I want to go over to the main. We actually had a lot of incidents here last week. We had a fatal fire right across the street about a week ago. And it gives me an opportunity to speak a little fire safety, to get a little corny with you. That gentleman unfortunately perished because he went back into his house after he was already outside, thinking that he could get inside and get some property prior, thinking that it would be okay. It was started out as a smaller fire. By the time he got inside, obviously the fire had really moved quick through the house, and he ended up going out of the second floor window and not making it. So it's just an opportunity. Our guys were there. Obviously, they did everything they could. Our medic transported to Ohio State. Obviously, our guys put out the fire, but just gives an opportunity to talk about if you unfortunately have an incident in your house, stay out. Wait for us to get there. Don't go in and try to grab personal belongings. It's not worth your life. We saw that happen last week. And then obviously we had the, I'm sure you saw it, it was on national news, the tanker fire, 27033. That was us. They called me via cell phone from the alarm office up there. They watched it happen on a traffic camera. They called me and said, start all of your stuff. They pretty much just waited for us to show up and put that out for them, which was nice. They pretty much just paved the way. They had a big opening, and the engine went. Actually, we were at Upper Arlington's fire truck, because we'll go over in a second. Our fire truck's broken. But they pretty much just opened up a path. We showed up and put out the fire. So
you got no, and got no credit on the news.
Arlington got a bunch of credit, but the main thing is the main thing is your fire department did a hell of a job. I'm extremely proud of them. So very proud of those guys.
Well, I tell you, everything I heard on the news was
Dublin.
Arlington Fire Department or some
Washington
other fire department.
What actually happened to Washington Township?
Yeah, Washington
Township. But we were driving up Arlington's truck.
Right. But nobody said anything about Franklin Township.
Yeah. Well, we know who put out, and they do too, because they talked to all the chiefs there. And, I mean, I was in command of FOAM, Chief Welch in command of the east side of the incident. And then the other funny part is Assistant Chief Mark Kidd, who's now Chief of Pleasant Valley.
Right.
He was in command of water supply. Chief Grile, who's now working at Norwich, used to work here. He was in charge of operations. And Jason Hughes, who used to work here, was actually in charge of the alarm office. So the five people that put out that fire all worked or have worked at Franklin Township, which I found absolutely hilarious.
That is cool.
So, pretty cool. Next, Engine 192 update. I just received from Chief Smith our completed fault, our findings on the accident. Obviously, we'll go over that with the officer.
Everybody got their accident reports.
Yes.
Correct. So, obviously, that will be passed on through our chain for disciplinary actions as needed. The update on Engine 192 is she is now in Wisconsin. We are waiting on the official quote from Pierce. It's going to be substantial. We've had the insurance adjusters here twice because the second time they didn't believe us. Let's go ahead.
Who was it again? The Pierce. Engine is at?
Pierce, in Wisconsin. It's in Appleton, Wisconsin. So the insurance adjusters wanted to come again to make sure all of that was really happening. So, yes. So we will have a quote hopefully within the next week.
Yes.
A substantial amount of damage done by just hitting a door. It's incredible. So the good news is it's not totaled.
Right.
So we'll have it back maybe by the time.
We do have replacement insurance on that though, don't we?
Yep. We do, but we're not going to get it. It's not going to get replaced.
I would like to recommend myself. As one thing is I don't think the driver should be driving any township equipment for the next 60 to 90 days. And he should go through driver's training. That's my opinion. That's up to the rest of the board. That's our recommendation.
It's not necessarily mine, because I don't have all the facts together.
It's up to the board.
But it's something that we need, I believe, to discuss. In fact, the extent of the damage and everything there, I think we really need
we need to also. This was a preventable mistake. That's why I'm saying I don't think you should be driving any equipment for 60 days and driver's training to let. I know he feels sorry about it, but I think due to the extent of this damage, I really think it needs to send a message that
my thing is, my opinion on this is going to be we need to talk to the chiefs and see is that even doable with the staff and staffing. I think this is something that we need to take into.
I kind of did, and he said that wouldn't be
really hurt. Yeah, this is more an executive session thing. Okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This needs to go into a...
Well, frankly, I'd prefer not to debate it tonight, because I think it'll take a while.
My opinion
would be, if anything, maybe put him on, ground him temporarily until our next meeting or something to that effect. If you could do that without an issue.
We got another meeting Monday, our February meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about it.
Does that sound better, Chief?
I would agree with waiting to the 30th.
And, with the extent of that damage and everything, we need to do some serious talking, because that's it's one of the biggest things I think is going to happen this year.
Okay,
let's off early. Let's not get
I went ahead.
Okay. So, anyways, that's the update on Edge 192. It's going to be substantial. We'll probably have it back before the fireworks go off.
The only other question I have for you presently is, do we still have that old red engine?
We're running out of our extra engine, the 1995, and I hope it makes it through when we get into when I do back.
Yeah, what's the status of that? Is decent or?
No. Not even a little bit.
Well, brakes.
We've actually had a
brakes, lights, all that sufficient and everything?
It passes the DOT inspection.
It passes the DOT inspection.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
And that's about the best we can say about it. Hey, still runs. Gets us to fire.
The old gal gets
gets going.
Yeah.
We're fine. Okay. And along with that, and Medic 193 has just blown an injector, an ERG valve, and a fan. It's at Arlington. Maybe we'll have it back by next week, but we're looking at a substantial cost on that, somewhere in the $5,000 to $6,000 range to get that truck running again.
That's our older one, isn't it?
That's the Medic that works out of the station, yes. We're in the extra Medic down here.
Right.
So tis the season. Everything's breaking on us. Okay, I'm not done here. I swear, that's all I have. I think that's all I have to do. And then you get to do all the other good stuff. All right.
The rest is coming?
That's it for me.
Oh, for you.
Okay. We broke this up. I've been fighting on and off a cold, and he speaks a lot better than I do.
I got stuff. Where's your mask? You just dropped a whole bunch of stuff out of your
pocket. Yeah, reason I was on that action. Yeah.
That's all my cards.
I know. I went ahead and put in what you said.
We've always, Ruben said to take recommendations. We've always done that. If you're in a regular place.
Well, I'm here to ask for stuff from the board.
Oh.
We're here to say no.
I know.
Go for it.
Basically, Chief Adams got us a $34,000 grant last year because we submit reports to the Ohio Department of Public Safety through the Department of EMS. Each time we make an EMS report, we upload it to the state of Ohio. And in turn, they open up grants to us. Well, the state also upgraded their software, and we're currently using ATS, alert tracking systems, for our reporting program. And they have not upgraded, nor they say they're going to, but it says pending on the website. And we keep asking, we're not getting calls back. Basically, ATS is, we've been with them a long time, probably over 10 years. They seem to be merging over to another area, more computer-aided dispatching area. And they are going international. I know they're outside the country now, but they are based right here in Columbus. So what I'd like to do is keep that software for our fire reporting, since we're already with them and we're getting one great deal out of it, and move over to emergent data for our EMS reporting. They are MSRS 3 compliant, which is a state reporting criteria, and that would still allow us to get the state grants. We usually get handed $3,000 every year just for filling out a form. Chief Adams last year got an extra $30,000, which we got our life back 15 with. And they pretty much well winked at him and said, as long as you stay compliant, you're on the radar, you'll probably get that for this year. But we haven't submitted a report to the state.
Since November 20th.
Yeah, since November. So now we're falling out of compliance.
Because of software.
Yeah.
You're not changing the company that you deal with.
Right.
He's just changing the software.
Yeah. Anymore.
You're compliant with that.
Exactly, to be compliant with the state. And we looked at a couple different softwares. There's only a few of them that are compliant. The first one we absolutely loved. When they brought out the price tag, it was $33,000.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Per year. But that's what we're running into now.
So every year you'd have to pay that. Yeah.
It's $33,000 first year, $27,000 every year after.
Just for the use of the software.
So we're looking at this big monster head. We're going to have to start throwing money at software things. But we found this one. It's $3,000 a year, $3,100 a year. They're going to do online training for all of our guys, so we don't have to worry about that. They automatically upload to the state. They automatically upload to our billing company. It's all hands off, so we don't have to do anything. It makes it really nice for everybody.
That's an easy decision.
Yeah, and Prairie Township uses it. We have four departments locally that use it.
And this is the Emergigate?
It's Emergent Data.
Emergent Data.
The city of Lancaster uses it.
You're getting it from a local outfit or whatever.
They're based out of Texas.
Texas.
But there's a bunch of people in Central Ohio that use it. Okay. New Albany uses it, and Clinton Township
uses it. So it's tried and tested already.
It's tried and tested, and it's tablet friendly. Like, there's no more of these.
My question is, who would pay the 30 then?
A lot.
We think possibly the city of Columbus is going to merge to them.
Wow. Somebody that has the money to be able to do it.
My question
is, so this is $3,000 a year, right?
Western is that company, and they're only paying $17,000. So we're like, well, we could figure out $17,000 a year, but we're so much busier, and they charge by your run volume, that ours jumped to $30,000.
In other words, the company that you're dealing with over here, your software has to be compliant with this one.
With the state of Ohio, correct.
Right. Okay, so the $30,000 is compliant with them.
Correct.
And the $3,000 is compliant with them.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
It's really a no-brainer, and at this point, I'm not going to change a whole lot with computers unless I actually have a no-brainer in front of me.
So it's $3,000 annually, and you get all the guys get full training? And
yeah, they're all going to have a four-hour classroom session. They're going to call in, and they're going to watch the person go through their reports. That way they're trained. There's an administrative side, and it's going to be able to go in and get the
What's your time frame in getting changed over?
I want to do it in a month. Basically, Firefighter Brockmeyer, which has been a lot of help with all these computer issues we've had recently, he's on 40 hours still on the light duty or your workers' comp, as mentioned. He has time to sit down with this program and get it squared away just for our needs and get it all set up.
Is he going to be the kind of guy that was like Larry was on your computers?
More or less, he's on company. He'll be going back to
company.
Well,
I know he's on company. He's on company, but I'm saying that you'll be able to call him for things when he's on duty or something.
That's what he's doing right now. I got him heading up all these problems that we're going through right now.
Okay.
He does a good job.
Do you need a resolution?
Yeah, I need a resolution.
Okay,
for
need a resolution 17046 to go.
Wait a minute. 4047. 47 is 2007 litter management grant. That's what Melissa's got right here.
Okay, it's that's a new one. I don't have that one.
Okay, here. You can use 17048.
I don't have that.
17048.
Don, it's right here.
Okay, you've got that one. All right, we're going to go
resolution 17-048.
Okay.
If I could request it to read Greening Chief Welch approval to enter into contract with Emergent Data.
Okay.
GRA Grant Chief Welch to purchase.
Enter into contract.
Oh, okay. Enter
now, what's
into
the length of the contract here, Chief?
1 year.
Contract. 1 year.
Not to contract. $3,000.
$3,100.
To exceed $3,100. I need a second, please.
Well, essentially, if you needed to upgrade next year, we'd have to redo it.
They already upgrade.
John?
Yes.
They do it.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
And Jim's got the
we can pay that out of EMS fund. We can, that's okay. Getting pretty decent right now.
Yeah, okay.
Secondly, to go along with that, in order to get Medic 193 up to date with Medic 193, we'd like to purchase another Surface Pro 4. Back a year ago, we purchased a Surface Pro 4 on Keytail's recommendation to upgrade our software and upgrade our computers and everything. Well, it's been sitting around for a year because ATS is not compliant. We didn't know that until we got it, and Keytail. My problem with Keytail is that they didn't check into it first. ATS is not tablet compliant, and this software is. Now we can utilize the money we spent a year ago. And I'd like to buy another one for about $2,000, which includes a 3-year warranty, a hard case. And
is this a laptop?
You don't have
no.
One. You don't have one in there now?
No.
I got one. I need another one for
you
the other.
You got
medic.
One.
Yeah. These, the computers are running now, they're over 10 years old, they're old tough books, and we're moving from a tough book that originally cost about $6,000 to $7,000. Isn't that about what we paid?
Yeah.
And these things are like $2,000.
Wow.
But, you know, we'll use them for 3 years, and we'll just have to keep replacing them every 3 years.
They need another.
So these are not going to be the tough book ones?
Well, they have a military case on them, but it's it's a tablet with a keyboard.
Do we still use the Toughbook type?
We do, yes.
Okay.
We use them for our NDCs. Because
I know when I was in the audience many years ago and they were spending an astronomical amount on those Toughbooks, I said then, why do we not use regular laptops or something of that nature? Because in 3 years, you could sell it, and when you buy a computer, the software comes on. So I'm just...
Cheaper,
just what I thought.
Replace it more often.
Yeah. 5 years later.
Surface Pro.
Yeah.
Surface Pro 4.
So the one that you've got in there now, you say you've got some in there now.
For reporting?
Yeah.
We have a Toughbook over here in the back.
Okay. What are you going to be doing with those?
We'll set it aside, use it for backup for all of our other.
I'm just wondering, can Jim or somebody like that? And well, the other thought is if Melissa could use a laptop instead of a desktop later on at one time?
These are pretty...
They're thick. They're like a suitcase when you open them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I got at home.
Okay.
They're real thick and heavy, and they're hard to be a laptop.
Okay.
It's made for military.
They're not a laptop as we think of it.
No,
right.
It's big, heavy-duty sturdy.
Then we'll need resolution.
17049.
For Chief Wells to purchase a Surface.
Authorized Chief Wells to purchase...
It's called Surface Pro 4.
Surface Pro 4.
Not to exceed $2,000.
Now, that Surface Pro 4, what is that? Is that that's basically a laptop, but in a military grade, correct?
Well, it's a tablet with
a tablet,
keyboard.
So it no longer. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
The keyboard flips up and has to cover.
Yes. I see exactly. I'll second it.
It's an 8 gig i5.
John?
That's the highest they'll make a tablet in right now.
Okay. Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure, foot while you're here.
Don't take it all.
I don't
have
to.
I'll take all.
Bruce, I've got the money in the fire budget. You want to talk about phones real quick while I'm up here?
About what?
The phone system.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't
work.
Do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, our phones don't work. I apologize if you called in. And
yeah, you can get ran up to date on it. The guy brought us up to date a little bit before, but go ahead.
I just got up to date too before I came down here. When we switched over from Keytail, we still had a fiber line in place that we had to pay for to run out the contract. So we kept our phones over on that fiber line. We're paying for it, might as well utilize it. Well, we've been having problems, and we're trying to isolate the problem down between Keytail or our systems around here. And that's where we're at. And right now, he's trying to narrow it down to what location is the actual problem. What we want to do is come up with a solution within... very quickly now to resolve all these issues. He said there's another phone system out there we can switch to, which would be a comparable price, or we can fix what we got. I told him I want to move everything out of Keytail's hands to stop the back and forth of who's at fault here. He agreed, and we're going to be working on that next week. we'll probably notify the board and, of course, everybody that works here. They will shut the phones down one evening and we'll switch them all over and get it taken care of.
Well, I know you're sending an email out to everybody. If you're taking the blame, it's not your fault. I want you to understand that.
No.
It's not you.
I appreciate that.
You searched, you found it, which you thought was a good company, and they are, but
yeah.
They've just been hit with a few other problems themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not your fault. You found a good company, a cheaper company, you're going to save
right.
money. It's their fault,
yeah.
not yours.
Yeah,
I
hate
to.
Well,
you know, like he was here tonight at dinner time working on these phones.
Right, he was here.
Yeah.
He was here today working on them. And, like I say, since I talked to him and talked to you, I think we put the pressure back that the trustees are. We want something done.
Yeah, phones are important.
And I think he's.
Oh, yeah, it's your lifeline. Really.
So he's working on it, and like I say, it's not your fault.
That's right.
Appreciate that.
I want you to understand.
But I'll stay ahead of it.
The time that you're going to set aside is in the evening now. I understood the email said you were going to try to.
We're going to try to do it Sunday, but we can't get our ducks in a row fast enough.
And I do we do appreciate the work you've done on it, and how it is appreciated.
Well, it's been a mess. I couldn't believe the messy communication with them when I got here.
When you went here and look at all these thousands of wires running all over the place. Yeah.
And that's just half of it.
It's a mess. Right. Where's this one hook up? Where's that one hook up?
Long time neglect's what it's been.
So anyhow, we appreciate it.
All right,
any questions for our fire department? Okay, I see.
I had just
okay,
one
quick.
On our meeting Monday, Chief, will you have the bulk of the information damage and that type of thing to the...
You may not have the
to the engine or
they may not have estimates.
Yeah, I have the estimate to the door, which is very minimal. That's already in the process. But if I had to shoot from my hip, we're going to go about 150,000. What the hang up was is nobody can believe that we bent the frame by hitting the building going out.
Yeah.
And so the adjusters are up in the air and everything else. So.
This is one time that I can say that those door frames up there, because they are reinforced with all that steel.
Yeah,
that if it steel. Did not have all that steel reinforcement in those pillars, we'd have been rebuilding the fire.
Right, the whole front of the building would have come
that
down.
That was my concern
when I
first saw the
email.
Yeah.
Each door is about that thick.
It would have brought that out, and then the rest of the door
was there any damage to the steel thing?
No. Can you tell?
Not that stuff.
They don't build them like they used to.
Yeah, I think it did damage the door railing. But anyhow, we'll go over that.
I just went to see how much it
so if there's any other questions, our fire department?
All right.
Okay, our guest speaker, Adam Miller, came in.
Oh,
good to see you, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hi there. Hi, everybody. Adam Miller, the new state representative for the West Side. Hilltop.
745.
Give him a couple of my cards. And I'm right before the trustee reports. So my purpose today is to introduce myself to the county.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
Horn.
You. Hi, how are you?
Cook.
One, but I'll take another one.
John, I'll give you another.
Yeah.
Madam Clerk.
You guys don't get none.
Thank you.
My friends in the military and other affiliated services, of course.
You don't get none. You live out.
Adam, do you have one more?
I do. Thank you. Why am I giving you my card? I expect you to call me. I expect you to call me. Lady across the road off Climb Road said, you left it at my door and you left your number. I'm going to call you and complain about something. I said, well, sure. Let me get a pen. I'll write it down. I was born here off Harrisburg Pike. My family's been here for 110 years. That's why I ran. I wanted to see the district improve. I remember when it was unbelievable. It was great. Schools, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it great again here on the hilltop. You probably heard that expression.
Yeah.
So without being political in that respect, I've got some breaking news. Do we have reporters here?
No,
wow. Okay. So
they would twist it around anyhow.
All right. It's going to come out tomorrow. The speaker has appointed me to the budget committee, and I'm going to be ranking on one of the subcommittees for education for Ohio. I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to have some input on infrastructure, on transportation, on all state appropriations, and that means townships will have a little more advocacy. And I've already spoken to a representative from Dayton, Representative Lips, who is very interested in township self-sustainment, township funding, so that you have the resources to carry out your mission. Because I don't know that you do.
We don't.
We don't.
Well, then that answers my question.
We've lost millions of dollars.
And I don't know what happened where there was a break between the state house and the townships, but that's my perception too, that you're not first in line. And I don't know if it's about, you know, well, we're doing this for the schools or that they're not. Mm-hmm. But long story short, you've got a very effective, in my opinion, township association director, Mr. DeTemple. He really knows his stuff. So that's going on up here. But down here, I'm sponsoring a bill that will help with the opiate crisis by providing civil immunity for anybody who's in a block watch. You don't have that.
That's great.
And when you knock on doors, people say, gosh, that block watch is great. And I say, well, did you join? He said, no, of course not. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get in. I said, well, what about Lisa and Pam and everybody that's doing the... So, good news. There is
block watch is going to grow.
There is bipartisan support for bringing the block watches under the umbrella of state legal protection and exempting those reports from a public record.
That's great.
Which is huge. Yeah, if you know, I mean, huge. So I'm real excited about that. I get it. The number one problem, the drugs, the houses, the knuckleheads, we're going to do something about it. The Block Watch has done a great, great job of being right there in the front, pushing for the better neighborhoods. And I'm real excited. We complain and complain and complain, and now the mayor's coming to the hilltop in 35 days. But who's counting? So,
is there any way they can get some funding maybe to the Block Watch in some way?
Yes. What do you have to have before you fund them?
Well, I'm just saying you ought to have...
That's a rhetorical question. I am a lawyer.
You ought to have some funding to print out literature to pass around or maybe even to...
Yeah, it all comes out of pocket. I mean, I do right. Block Watch.
First, I'm bringing them in. No reporters, right?
Right.
First, I'm bringing them in under the ambit of state protection legally. Then, I bring them in under state reimbursement for out-of-pocket actual expenses. Then, we bring them into block grant funding through Department of Public Safety.
Okay.
Absolutely. Crawl, walk, run, like we say in the Army.
Right. Okay.
Assistant Chief.
Sir, I'm talking about personal property tangible taxes. Obviously, you know that's hit the township harder than any other
cost
of revenue. Is there... And I know, obviously, where we're at right now at the state legislature, is there any talks of that being repealed, reimbursed, still going to go away? I mean, is that even on the forefront whatsoever of changing how that money is being taken away?
The question is, will this budget cycle find a way to return to a hold harmless to the townships and the schools whose funding dropped down to nothing when they took away that tax? There are a lot of things on the table, yes. And I've heard a couple times this week from folks that we need to find a way to make more level the hold harmless payments. And if we're going to do another agricultural change to the farming formula, and I'm not sure we are, how are we going to make whole the local government we've already cut down to bare bones and then pass that? Right. So I'm really encouraged by what I've heard from legislative leadership, from the speaker. I'm not sure the governor's with us on that, but, you know, if he says he's going to put all his money into the drugs and the opiate and provide money for shelters, for recovery, for treatment sites, hey, I'll find a partner for that. If I've got to go to the Department of Commerce and Development and do bond issues so that we can recapitalize some of the things you're talking about, why can't I put your trucks in your logistics? They're part of a fourth frontier. They have the third frontier and the fifth frontier. What about the regular frontier?
You need the guys on the bottom.
Right.
If you're going to take care of the top, the guys
That's
on the
right.
bottom have to take care of the guys up here.
And if
you put the money up there, the guys on the bottom are dead.
They forgot about us.
Right.
Yeah.
So I heard something interesting today. $9 billion surplus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the rainy day fund.
Right. How much more are they going to take from
you know
the
what?
Taxes?
They need to give us back our local government.
It's raining. It's raining. I smile because I can say I'm among some like-minded friends here But this is not a tough sell. So I've been meeting with people on the, you know, so-called real conservative folks who say, what? We're not doing that for the Block Watch or the township or the, we cut all the preschool? That's right, sir. They did. Mm. So I'm going to be asking some tough questions in the budget committee hearings, and we're going to put that out on my website, and that'd be great to, it'd be great to see some local government leaders come down to the State House and sit in that hearing room. So, because that's the problem. When the budget director sits there and he says, well, we've never had any local government testify, and nobody here is from local government, and I'll go, point of privilege, Mr. Chairman. Assistant Chief is there. Township History Horn is there. And you know, that makes a difference, because then people see you really care about it. So I'm going to be putting out a newsletter. I'll have some of this information. Over the next 2 months, you're going to have a chance to be informed and to testify. And by the way, you don't have to show up and bang on the door. You can write a letter. And by law, your letter goes into the testimony.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know that until I read the rules. How about that?
So, I'm sure you know.
We have a good opportunity, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure you know if you're on the west side. Our police department is down to 50%.
Yeah.
We closed the firehouse on Sullivan Avenue twice last year. We laid off people.
Can't help
the reason the fire department is running right now
closed,
is because they got a grant, a $1.4 million.
Yeah.
Because the state of Ohio took the money away from us.
Yeah. So now that they've got built back up, they need to give back the local government funds.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all that money sitting there.
If local government funds has become a political football and the governor just shakes his head.
Yeah, that's because he keeps building that fund.
If he just says no, wouldn't we be willing to accept that money from
another source,
a non-traditional source, that nobody looks bad, nobody's embarrassed, so it comes through the Port Authority and we have our money?
Yeah.
We don't care where it comes from.
We don't
care. I heard a resolution almost. Okay.
Yeah.
The bottom line is,
yeah,
bring the money back.
So that's how I work. If I know that politically the governor's going to say, great idea, get out of my office, I want to find a way to get the townships and the schools the resources that they need so that they can fulfill their mission. And if that means we do something through the county and the Port Authority, like we're doing with the opiate task force, $200 million.
But our other
find a way to do that.
Are other representatives on board with you on this?
So far, so good. Couple positives, no negatives.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Plain Township, Prairie, so far, so good. So I wanted to just say, hey, reintroduce myself. If I knocked on your door and you were busy, well, hello. Really great to see you. I do expect and want you to call me and say, what about, and I don't care if it's the dog catcher or it's the street light. And we've actually, I think we're going to stop that street light from getting pulled off Westgate and Sullivan.
Yeah.
So, and then one other thing. Oh, and the Ohio reporting public safety, I would invite you to call my office. We might be able to help you with that alternative waiver that might give you a break in your compliance period.
The Answer Street reporting
program? My assistant, Mrs. Herman, that Mr. Cook and Fleischman met. Let me see if I can help you guys there.
Okay.
Did we ever get that $60,000 back?
From who?
From that train wreck?
Oh, yeah, we got that.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. So maybe we can help you there, bridge that gap. There is a bill that the Township Trust Association and a couple of the large townships are promoting, and I just want to put this on your radar screen. It will promote greater purchasing flexibility and allow you to participate in purchasing collaboratives. Evidently, cities can do these things and other public entities can do collaborative purchasing. But for whatever reason, they left township out of the code. So I'm certainly, at first blush, a mind to be supportive of that, particularly if it gives you more options.
Buying power.
Yes. And
cheaper.
And not that you would have to. You don't. But as the sponsor, Republican from Montgomery Township in Dayton, said, Miami Township, it will give townships the same ability to choose the best way to procure a service without having to go through just one size fits all. approach. I'm certainly a fan of competitive procurement, but I also understand that at times urgent necessities arise and you have short fuses that you've got to deal with. So I think that has something to do with it. So I would contact the Township Trustees Association and see what they say, because I know they have an analysis of it, but I wanted to raise it for your attention.
Okay.
All right. That is my report. Are there any questions from the trustees? John?
You got my information that came over in regards to the sewers. Remember we were talking in regards to that. You had an opportunity. I had it sent over to your secretary. What we shared with the county, and if you've had an opportunity to see if your office can be of any help to allow us to see the information that we want to see.
Yeah, that's right.
The other thing I would
like... I have made my inquiry. I have not heard back yet.
Okay. Which I'm...
Surprise. You're going to win a bet.
Well, I have 18 in a year and 1 month.
So,
18
yes,
requests.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
The other thing I wanted to check with you to see is, with your office, we lose, the townships lose a lot of ground. When we lose ground, it's still going, if we're city versus county, it's still your 17th district, correct?
Oh, yeah. So I think what I understand...
No, you don't, because I'm talking in circles. Let me finish what I'm going to say.
The trustee, you mean if there's an annexation?
Right.
Yeah.
I think I brought that up to you about the county morgue.
What?
Right across the street, they're building the county morgue.
Really?
Well, they took it from us.
Yeah.
Because city water, and this is what I'm going to get at. Let me finish this before I lose it.
That's crazy.
One of the things that is a commodity that we lose ground is because if we don't have city water and sewers, and they allow us. Now,
they've
on some of us neighbors, we're going to be forced to take it, but we got to pay double the price.
Wow.
For consumption. So if you take water, you're going to pay double than the person across the street.
Wow.
Is there a way, how is it that we could be able, as far as the state house, to say, wait a minute.
The same water.
In this day and age, why can't it be equal for everyone? If we wanted to be able to hook on the sewer and water, we pay the price as everyone else, and we would be able to. The only reason we lose the properties that we lose, the only reason we lost... The casino is over city water and sewer.
Right, and it already had it on that property.
So my question is, what can the state house do? Is there, because I've been told you can't do none. I'm not smart enough to believe that. So what I'm going to continue to do is ask questions and keep barking until I get my bone. I want to know how it is. I'm being told that, well, that's the city. City can do it. They control that. Well, you as a representative of the State House of the State of Ohio is where we're at. They're just the city of Columbus. How is it that we can't get a bill passed that allows free trade? Just like the casino. We got a check into...
$32,000.
We got a check for $32,000. This is something, at some point, I'd love to see if you can rectify.
Hmm.
We were supposed to get $800-some thousand a year for...
$750,000.
For 50 years. We get a check in the mail. We have no idea what it's for. No explanation.
Huh.
We ask them for a breakdown. Can't give it to you. That's private information. Here's a check. But how do
That's wrong.
Well, I know it's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But what I'm asking is... I'm asking the big dog that represents the state of Ohio.
They won't give us the information. They won't break it down as to how they are breaking
it. Do you work with Ron O'Brien's office? Is your free legal counsel?
Mm-hmm. That is.
And they're a civil division, so I would ask Prosecutor O'Brien. Prosecutor O'Brien has been scrupulously honest about his civil responsibility to represent townships, water and soil districts, other public entities for free, because that's his legal duty under the Ohio Revised Code.
Right.
So thing one is I would ask Ron O'Brien for that. I have learned, studying this issue in the last year and a half or clients, matters that I've had as an attorney and now in the public sector, there was a tremendous move in Ohio to change the annexation process that provided notice to all parties and come up with something so-called expedited that basically disenfranchises the township. You're not even a party.
Yeah.
I lost a bet in the courthouse on that one.
Right. They come out here and take property.
I lost a bet in the courthouse on that.
And cannot supply the services.
No. So to answer your question, legally, there's not much you can do even once we bring that pendulum back towards a moderate middle point, as long as the current water and sewer agreements are in place. They found this fast, and they've been doing that since Emmy Sensenbrenner was a young scout.
Sensenbrenner started it.
Yeah, when he was a young man. So having said that,
you're a smart guy.
How we should we go into executive this? Session and discuss
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay. There is some stuff going on, and it's one of those deals where when somebody does something that's so egregiously unfair and overreaches that even the people who said we need this say, wow, we didn't need that. That is sort of happening right now. So in public, in this forum, what I can tell you is the overreaching that's taking place might create a short window of opportunity in the right form with the right people to press that button. So I am aware of it. Rather interesting. You might have been sitting in my office today.
No, I've been.
With some of your comments of right on point.
Know, some of these people know I've been working the same thing for some time, and I'm just
your issue is remarkably
that's why
common to others in this county. So that's all I can say publicly and not reveal attorney-client privilege. I beg your pardon.
Right, and I've been pushing the same thing about the,
it's a big problem.
About the morgue. I mean, that property down there was township property.
But let me give you a solution. You asked me for a solution. You know, hey, Mr. Jag, I think ballot issue. Until we put it on a ballot as a ballot issue to repeal those aspects, people say, well, why would you do that? Well, so you give cover to people who would vote against it to say, hey, it's a ballot issue. So if we don't, you know, look at this, we could face a real huge loss. And then what would our friends say? So I think kind of like that, where you have a ballot issue threat that's credible, that will force the leadership on multiple fronts to reassess.
Like I said, I believe there's a way to make it happen. I just cannot believe and will not accept, as I preach this all the time, I'm not giving up on it because I know there has to be a way.
It is taking mobilization at the civic association, neighborhood, township, county level to build that state consensus to get there. And the first, Cochran didn't do it when he was chair of the townships. Matt DeTemple is aware of the problem. You have an uphill battle because the developers are so heavily entrenched.
When you talk about going back to the voters, let me tell you two things. This township put electric aggregation on the ballot. Guaranteed, every resident will save 10%. None of this flexing up and down.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
turned it down.
Twice.
Last year, you know, home rule is a great thing for a township.
And that might be...
home rule went on the ballot this last time.
Part of what my friends talked about.
And the voters turned home rule down.
It wasn't only turned down, it was slaughtered.
And home rule is a good thing for the township.
So, you know, to finish that point, if people in the township knew that the end result was your home that's been in this school district in Hilliard in Southwest for 98 years is going to flip, and you're going to see a Columbus Schools flag planted there, I think that will...
I'm not sure they would believe you, though.
Oh, we have some evidence.
Yeah.
So I think that is what it's going to take, is a comprehensive messaging and campaign. Is it going to happen this cycle? We'll see. But I know it's interesting how many of you and how many of the civic association leaders and county leaders understand the problem. So that's a start.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, we're probably 4 years away.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep, like you said, banging on the door until they open it.
Well, unfortunately.
Great question.
Unfortunately, Adam,
Mr. Horn.
As you well know, you know, the township here has taken a big, big hit, as all the county is, on property values.
Yeah.
And consequently, what we have done, it was hammered through 4 or 5 years ago, 5, 6, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That 37-year building levy for Southwestern City Schools.
Mm.
Now, having said that, all at once, your school taxes went through the roof.
Yeah,
once this levy was finally passed. And you know, it really doesn't leave any room, any wiggle room, really, for
these fires.
You know, like Franklin Township.
Well, and
they're operating.
He was there.
In other words, the school district's sucking up all the money.
Right. And so we're talking about changing that and providing more homestead and other exemptions for certain taxpayers, and that may have legs.
Yeah.
I was in a very positive, and your body language tells me I need to be a supporter and push for that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if the school, and I'm not saying that a school district that's got no air conditioning, that's supposed to be teaching Algebra 3 on a computer, shouldn't have a nice...
Yeah.
Whiteboard where the teacher can get everybody in. I get that, but we've got to incrementally do it instead of throwing it all on the same people who can't afford another cent. And that's true for Southwestern. Is true for Grandview, where I am.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, I'm glad.
I understand what you're saying, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad you're aboard. We've got a voice now.
Yes, you do.
What's your plans going forward? Are you going to have like a quarterly public meeting, or what are you going to do?
Well, I had my first two meetings 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did you really?
I did. Everybody came into the Valley View Y, and I got a lot of good information.
Oh, good.
And then I went on the south side, and it started to rain cats and dogs, and the turnout wasn't so great.
Yeah.
So my plan is going to be to continue with the weekly community forums.
Okay.
I'm doing a community cleanup on Saturday. We're starting at the Hilltop Library, and we're doing those alleys where all the knuckleheads have been.
That's the Lisa Boggs thing there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lisa, Ruth, and some of the other folks are going to help me. But I really would like to, if it's permitted, to come and do regular updates in person.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime you want.
Well, I will watch out. Be careful what you ask for.
Call us and you'll be on your day.
And if I'm on active, I'm an Army guy on the weekend once a month. So if I'm on duty, and it's my assistant will be here, or my law student from OSU. But this is good. I think this is how government works best. It's efficient, it's lean and mean, and it's a two way.
And I would like to encourage. I would like to encourage you to. If we need to do nothing more but stand up at the State House or go to a meeting...
You would be so surprised. Yes.
We've never been invited. We don't even know...
Really?
We don't even know...
My predecessors didn't invite you?
Never.
Well, shame on them. I'm inviting you. It makes such a benefit.
Your predecessor worked against this township.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very sad to hear that.
He's the one that was mainly responsible for the casino taking that spot in Anderson City.
Moving forward.
Now we got somebody to work for us.
Moving forward. No, you have a lot of residents. Township government goes back to the founding of the United States.
Yeah.
The 16-acre lot for education, for widows and orphans, for hospitals. I don't want my son to have to go to see a township in a museum. So
there's a lot of people working against them. They
look
say
like...
They,
I'm in the right place.
Their usefulness.
Yes,
I know. I know.
We had one trustee that was not here.
The townships
have outlived their usefulness, and they are working against
it. So I am going to a caucus of the large township association maybe next week.
You let me know.
You guys should be there.
Do you tell me place, address?
Yeah, it's in the State House. And I said I got to go there. I have to be there. And I didn't know if you guys considered yourselves as quote unquote large.
Yeah.
Or not.
We're large. We're considered large.
I think you should be.
We'll show up in numbers.
Yeah, we are.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, if I can say something, as one of your three department heads that are responsible for our budgets based on what you were talking about with the funds and looking into it.
Yeah.
Right. And then Representative Miller made the comment about like executive sessions. I think that is a meeting that needs to take place.
Yeah.
Because you really sound like somebody that could really help us out with questions.
We can speak in plain terms without waiving privileges that you wouldn't want to waive.
Right. It sounds like, you know, you're able to give the answers that we've been asking for years. You could probably give answers or help find the answers to them that we're not getting.
You may not like it, but I'll find it.
But you know what? At least we would have some kind of an answer.
Sure.
If that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's so disrespectful. It just breaks my heart to hear you treated that way.
Inform us of the meeting, and we'll see what we
can do. Thank you. And we have the transportation budget. There are really nice seats up front because no one sits there.
Yeah.
Oh,
the other.
If we want, we'll camp out the night before to make sure we get it.
I will have some privileges as a ranking and committee member, and that's.
I really felt like somebody when I went down there.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All alone, I was up there.
Yeah, and they talked. So we'll talk about that. We'll strategize about that. There's something else I want to mention before we get too late. The state data thing we're going to talk about, the township legislation I'm going to talk about, but that development legislation, that's going to take time, and we should do that executive session dialogue so we can get really down to the nitty-gritty legally and otherwise. And then Mr. O'Brien is in a position to be very, very helpful to public bodies like this one that are looking to flesh out those legal details. Yes, he is.
Don't seem to get a whole lot of help below there.
Well, Mr. O'Brien has, let me just leave it there. He is a fan of local government,
The problem is, you're right about Ron O'Brien, but he can't do it all, so he farms it out to his
assistants.
Yes, a very Glasgow and the
civil. And then our problem gets that they get busy, and that's world.
Glasgow and his people know what they're doing, though, and there is a dynamic in the next coming year or two that may work in your favor. Let me say it cryptically that way.
Yep, many a time.
Well, you might be a ray of sunshine.
Many a time we've had rain to go to our attorney to get the legal advice because we just. We've left calls, left messages after messages.
Did you guys ever hire somebody privately on a project basis because you needed?
We can't afford it.
I was going to say, out of what fund, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've had to go to Don Brocious on a lot of.
What about the OTA? Doesn't the OTA have a legal service?
They won't give you anything.
Nope.
They don't have a discount service?
No.
I'm surprised. All right. Well, I think we can make some progress, and we have tonight.
Okay.
But thank you for hearing me.
Any other questions?
Not a question. A quick statement. I just want to. I think you're going to be
absolutely
be quite refreshing for us.
What a nice thing to say. Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you. Absolutely. Well, I voted for you.
My grandfather volunteered. Went with General Gavin, 82nd Airborne, one of the first paratroopers from West High. And we go back a very, very long. Oh!
Two cowboys.
They are putting the cupola back up.
Yay!
They're putting the cupola back up, and they're getting it designated as a National Historic Site, so they can't mess with it again.
Yes.
There's some good news. That's two good news.
And that's which school?
West High School. Okay. The Cowboys, 1918.
Great.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'll stick around if you have any questions.
And if you could just make a note to check on records requests, that would be great.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. And the question,
so
we thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Okay, back to Jim Stevens.
I deferred to you last time, but this time I'm not.
Thank you, Jim, because I just wrote your name.
Yeah. Let's get the show on the road.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Well, he's back on his feet again, aren't you, Jim?
Well, he's on one and a half.
Okay.
Go, Jim.
Welcome to
Comic-Con. Move it on.
Thank you.
All right, let me get my stuff together.
Come on, you got
3 minutes, Jim.
Okay, ding, ding. In the on the agenda, we actually had
the litter management.
They had us down for a litter management grant. We had a group, actually, Friends of the Hilltop. They came in and they met with Trustee Cook and myself, and they had a question about possibly applying for a grant through the Ohio EPA or federal EPA. It kind of starts at federal level and works its way down once it gets into Ohio, and then we get a chance to get a hold of it. What it entails is just what it says. It's a litter management grant. This grant is actually, once you apply for it and if you are granted the grant, it helps pay your costs. As you know, we collect thousands of tires a year from all of our alleys, and I mean the trash that's in all of our alleys. And what the Friends of the Hilltop are wanting to do because they pretty much, they're doing a lot of cleanups throughout the county, throughout our township. Anything that they find within our township, they'd be able to bring that debris, that trash, those tires into here. We needed to try to explain to them what we possibly could do for them and what we can't do for them. Unfortunately, the way that they wanted it to work out, it won't work out. We would have to spearhead this thing up. They would have to bring their stuff to us, and then we would have to dispose of it. The grant actually would go into effect as of July 1 of 2017, and then go through June 31st of 2018. It's a one-year grant. It's a really good thing. I brought my budget numbers down. With what we do and how we get rid of all of our trash and all of our debris and things from in the township, is we have set up a line item within our budget. It's a tipping fee fund. Last year alone, we were well over $1,000 in our costs just for the trash and the tires and everything that everybody's done within our township. The grant that we are looking to apply for, it's actually up to a $10,000 grant. When they met with us, actually, Melissa and I set up the other day and we had a conference call. It's a $10,000 grant, litter management grant it's called Recycle Ohio, the Environmental Protection Agency. It'll be on a invoice base, would be granted to $10,000. We wouldn't have $10,000 sitting in our fund. But what we would do is we'd have $10,000 sitting out here, and it would support, like what we do, our tire drives and things twice a year. Everything, where we right now, we're kind of limited to, we would open it up from 4 tires a person. If you want to bring 10 in, we'll make it 10. Anybody has 10. We just got watched all the little mom-and-pop shops out here that do tires don't start bringing a bunch of tires in. But it's another avenue for us to help clean up our township and get reimbursed for it where it doesn't cost us any money out of our pocket. It sounds like a really good thing. Like I said, Trustee Cook sat in on the meeting. We will be able to utilize some of these funds, and Melissa's actually, she's going to spearhead this thing up. We're actually even looking into applying for some more Keep America Beautiful grants, which are a great thing to work for too. And those cover other different types of costs, like the cost of advertising for our community cleanups and our tire drives and things. It's a good avenue. I think this is a good thing for us.
It has been turned in by the 4th.
Yes. Right? The 3rd.
And this grant was really brought to us by
Friends of the Hilltop. They could not apply for it themselves. They weren't able to do that. Now, they could, as if you want to say piggyback, they could piggyback on us if we applied for it. And they thought that it could be used in one way, which it turned out it couldn't be used that way, but it still won't be able to benefit them and us. It's going to benefit us more because we actually, it's amazing the amount of stuff that we take to the dump and over to Liberty Tires, and now we'll be able to actually get a complete reimbursement for all of this. This grant, in the way that it reads, is that we have to apply for it. It has to be in by the 3rd of February, and Melissa and I have been working on getting this all put together. And we've kind of come to the conclusion, I have got quite a few things coming up in our near future within the road department where we're going to be extremely busy. And I think that it would be a good idea to let Melissa spearhead this thing up, because pretty much all it is, you guys, just like when I apply for the other grants where you have to pass a resolution allowing me to go into contract, be the signer or whatever, and that's what we would be doing this evening. The resolution, John's got it sitting in front of him there. Don, that would be the one that you would need to pass this evening, allowing Melissa to go ahead and move forward with, and I will get the actual application filled out for her, show her how we need to do this.
Right.
And once we get all of this done, we have the resolution, we get this sent in by the 3rd. In the conference call that we had with the Ohio EPA the other day, they are extremely pretty confident that this will all go through okay. They want to work with us because they know what we do.
Now, this is a matching grant that the township will pay 10%.
10%.
And what are, what, how much you going to ask for?
I think we're going for the $10,000 grant right now. Melissa should have a little bit more numbers. It should be, I think we're going to be right at that $10,000
okay. mark. There's a couple of them up in there, and then there's yeah. a tire one.
And how this ends up working would be that even though we're applying for a $10,000 grant, we have a 10% match, so that's going to be a $1,000.
Right. Or okay. if you go for more, I'm just, what I'm trying to get at is
go both
I want
ways.
Everybody to be prepared that it could be a $2,000 or $3,000 match depending on
what we end up doing now, but at the same time, we're at a $10,000 grant, but let's say we only end up using $5,000 of that grant. We don't get the whole 10, we're only going to use that right. $5,000. So now our match is only $500.
Yeah. It will it be that though?
Yes. It'll go up and down, it'll fluctuate okay. with okay. whatever we
Based
end
upon
up using.
What you use. Okay.
I just want everybody to understand this and yeah. the yeah. matching grant.
So it's a fund and you draw from it as needed.
Correct. It's not like we're going to have it in our kitty per se and then go from there.
Exactly.
You know, it was Friends of the Hilltop, they were kind of thinking maybe that was the way it was going to be and then they would turn in an invoice. Well, right. it doesn't work. It doesn't, it pays
all
for
volunteer
no
labor.
No salaries, no, you can't use it. It's just for
supplies and materials.
Supply material, trash and litter. Disposing.
Disposal, yeah. supplies.
Yes.
Maybe so, equipment.
Yes.
If they have to buy a piece of equipment to do something.
Correct. But that's the resolution.
You might have to buy them shovels or so today.
I mean, you liked them shovels, didn't you? You know, but why you said it fit my hands good was wrong.
You know, if you're allowed to buy equipment, et cetera, you know, tools and things, that might be
within reason. Within reason.
For Melissa to move forward with the 2017.
Make a motion to pass resolution 17047, and this is the authorizing board of trustees to give Melissa the permission to
move forward.
Get into the 2017 EPA. Letter management grant.
PA. I need a second, please.
I'll second.
John?
Longer.
Yes.
Don?
Huh?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. I think it's a great thing because it works hand in hand with our department and our budget, and we try to do the best we can to maintain our budget, and we beat it up rather regularly. So that takes care of that. Good. That was
okay.
Next thing I have, a little bit of an update on the demolition of the houses. We are getting very close. We are planning on, up in the Money Back area, we are planning on starting on demoing of the three houses up there. We have one on Dover and two on Plainview. There is a lot of preliminary work that needs to be done. We were actually planning on starting this. We started gearing up for this last month, getting some tools and stuff in place that we needed, that we knew we were going to have. But then we got backed up because of legal matters. We weren't able to get started until this month. We started up there today, and we started removing fences. And the smaller trees, we have some extremely large trees and large limbs that will have to be taken out of the way before I can get in there with a track hoe and start, you know, demoing the houses and removing the debris. It looks good. I drove up through there this afternoon coming back from the conference, and what these guys have done, I mean, I don't know if you noticed it today, when you even go down the plank now, you look at Minnie's old house, it doesn't even look anything near what it used to, just in the cleanup. We got the fences taken down up at Minnie's house, we got the fences taken out down at the house down on Plainview. We're trying to get everything ready, so prepared, so when it comes time to be able to drop the equipment off, we can just take off and go from one to the other, and within that 1 month's time, we should be able to get these three houses down and stay within the 1 month of what we found for the equipment rental.
You have to rent for a month?
Yes, 1 month rental. And Melissa and I, we have searched high and low. We've ended up getting like three or four different quotes on equipment. The one that she's decided that we're going to go to is a company which is actually, it sits in the township here, it's down on Stillmore Road. It's called Herc Rentals. The total, and you know what, this is, I got the wrong piece of paper. No, I'm sorry. The total is going to be to rent this track hoe
and it has to be a rather large track hoe with a thumb bucket so we can actually be able to do what we need to do. It's going to be $3,700 to rent this for a month, and then that cost will be split out three ways. And then I've developed a spreadsheet upstairs, which I showed you, Mr. Cook, a spreadsheet where we are tracking all of our time, all of our equipment time, just like we do with House Bill 50, our chainsaws, anything that we're going to be using, we're going to be doing this in the House Bill 50 manner to where everything will be tracked and everything will be charged accordingly.
Right.
So we'll be able to recoup a lot of our costs that we have involved with getting ready to do this. I think getting these three houses down is going to be a huge improvement, I think, not just for the area, but I think a lot of residents.
Also, in June, we're supposed to
talk
about that other house.
We got more.
He's either going to do one way or the other. He's either going to rehab it and have or it's going to be ours.
This is just a start. These three houses are just a start of what could end up being a very large project within the township. I mean, it's going to get to the point where if it starts hitting us in the middle of summer during our mowing season, we may end up sitting back at the table saying, hey, we're going to need some help.
Right, we may have to have a pound down.
Well, I think you're going to need some help this summer anyway.
Aren't two of those we're going to be able to put back to the property tax?
Yes.
Two of them?
Yes.
We'll go back to the property tax.
Correct.
One of them, the house, the property will come to Franklin County.
Correct.
And then we can sell it or do whatever we want.
Yeah. But we will be, like I said, we're going to do it all through House Bill 50, just like we do with all of our mowing.
Right.
We will, throughout the time frame, turning in our time, doing everything the way we do with House Bill 50, and then I will give Lisa a bill at the end and say, here. And that's how we end up with that resolution, where I look at you going, what's happening? Why did we need money? But we didn't. You were actually giving me money.
Were you able to locate all those septics that we were talking about?
We know where two of them are at. We're going to go up and find the third one. We are going to get the septic tanks pumped out. I think it's a good idea to go ahead and get them pumped out.
That's what
we need to. I wanted to be able to go in because, unfortunately, it's going to be a rather interesting ride in that track hoe when I get over top of one because I'm going to be in it.
You have to collapse it, don't you?
Well, you drive over it, it's going to collapse.
Unfortunately. We can't.
You can't?
We cannot purposely collapse
private property.
By Ohio Revised Code with what we were doing, and again, I should have brought it down with me, Melissa, she printed it all off for me. By Ohio Revised Code, we have the permission to go in and demo the house, clean up the property, get that out of there. Anything else that we damage, be fences, perimeter fences, not interior, perimeter fences, septic tanks, anything that we damage, we are responsible for. Where I wanted to go in, find a septic tank first, collapse it, fill it, then I know I'm not going to be sitting on my side somewhere on a piece of equipment. But we can't. I did speak with the Franklin County Sanitary Sewer Engineer today, and they're pretty much thinking there's a way around that to where we can bust at least the first 2 feet of it now and then fill it in.
You know, I bet the one that's on the Plainview, that last one down there, I think it was 30-something, 15 or 19.
35, 19.
Yeah. I would bet you could do that one because that property's going to come back to the township.
I got just a gut feeling just from my construction knowledge and having my construction account. I'm going to find them. I'm going to find all three of them, unfortunately.
Right, but I'm saying I bet you could collapse that one because that's not private property anymore.
It's going to be ours, so I'll zero in on that. I know where that one's at.
Is the township responsible for, even if they damage it accidentally?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's one of these things, you just got to really watch what you're doing.
Well, I can understand that because the point, that's still the property owner's property.
Correct.
And he could come back in there and say, I'm going to build a new house there,
and
I need that septic tank.
Now,
even though he's going to have to collapse it in another 6 months or a year when the sewer
which is something that we're working on right now. Actually, what we would be doing by letting us collapse it now,
save the homeowner money.
Utilizing some of the stuff that's all piled up along the roads up there, the big pieces of concrete, which I've already spoke with our contractors that are up there, utilizing some of the stuff that's got to be hauled out to actually fill them. I would think that the homeowner would be glad that I did what I did.
Right. Mm-hmm. The problem is you can't contact the homeowners.
I can't fight to hire a revised code, nor will I.
Can you find the homeowners? Because they could sign a waiver.
We haven't even been able to find these homeowners for years with certified letters. You can't find them.
Well, one homeowner's dead. He died.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, Rob, you had a question.
And a couple of things.
You only got one.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit. Like the utility company, Funnel Bundle. A couple of things. The construction people are clipping right along. Okay? They, where you're going to the house at the dead end of Dover, they've just gotten finished down there.
I was in the industry.
Okay. I'm happy that between Gladstone and Plank, there's no digging happening on Dover. So I ain't got, they told me that. So that's what I was told. Okay? They're up at the church now on Dover.
There's a 200, there's a, like a 230-foot stretch again.
Right. They got to do. Okay. The guy told me once they get done, then there's another group coming in to do laterals.
Correct.
Okay. I don't, wouldn't know if you're aware of that scheduling, because if you're going to put your equipment in there and they got equipment in the middle of the road trying to do laterals,
I have been
working. How is that going to conflict with your schedule?
It's not. Because we sit in meetings in here the first Tuesday of every month, and we have our scheduling meetings, and we get this all worked out. I met with them all yesterday, Stu and everybody down there, and explained to them, come February 6th, I'm going to be sitting down around Dover. You need to be out of my way.
Okay.
So they're going to be out of our way, and then they know that we're going to go from Dover to 3519 Plainview. Okay. Manny's, we're going to finish Manny's last. So we're actually going to go to an area they've already been in, laterals, yep, and everything are done. Okay. They're going to have the laterals and everything done ahead of time.
Okay.
Here. I've asked them to wait on one, which happens to be the property we're going to be in. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I mean, that property is going to have a lateral put in there anyhow, but I'd rather them wait to put that lateral in until after I'm out of there with heavy equipment, so I don't damage it, and then there's something else that we've got to repair. So.
And then when you're going piggybacking on if you damage the septic tanks, mm-hmm, okay, the county health department is not letting anybody do anything with septic tanks. So until you tap in.
I was going to say, you right, you know, now.
Like the house that they built on Brookside, the one they tore down and built up real quick.
Oh, yeah.
They can't live in that house because they're not allowed to put a septic tank in.
Nobody. Yeah.
So you can't even repair your septic tank. Even if you guys would accidentally damage it, they're not going to let them do anything with it anyway.
Right,
so how can you be liable for something that has to be
done? The septic tank actually, and how reliable, or liable, and you might be able to answer if Mr. Miller helped me with this. This is something that's underground. It's completely has nothing to do with what we're doing above ground. So I'm up here working. I can tear all of this stuff down, which I'm going to. Something that's below ground, I damage that. It's owned by the property owner. I damaged it with either due diligence or whatever. Now I have to repair that regardless.
Well, what if the county isn't going to let you repair it? What can they charge you for nothing?
This is the part that it's one of those gray areas right now.
I mean, I'm not trying to debate you. I just don't want you to feel scared about something that you might not have.
I'm not scared. I'm more crushing. I know it.
Because we're not allowed to do anything with our septic tanks.
Exactly.
I know this for a fact.
They all have to be dismantled.
Correct.
Every septic system in that area has to be dismantled. That's part of the sanitary sewer project scope. I just have to get the legalities worked out, which is what we're working on, getting the legalities worked out, because it's actually going to be savings to the homeowner for me to be able to do this.
I mean, they're abandoned.
I can't promise them, you know, I'm taking something in there that weighs tons and tons and tons, mm-hmm, and these things aren't very deep in this area because we figure they were put in
40, 50 years ago.
Yeah. So I know they're not very deep. I know they're probably only 500 gallon tanks. They're not going to be very big.
You could, if you get a hold of the county treasurer's office, not Cordray, new guy.
Mingo?
No.
He's the auditor.
I'll figure it out. Too many hours on my feet, in my defense. They have all the ownership records, and you might be able to pursue some sort of waiver. And it just, there are some strict liability rules that deal with anything underground,
okay,
and that's, so it's complicated. So you were right to ask questions, and I would again call the prosecutor's civil office.
For you.
waiver.
Something like that.
And that's where I think, so we're not the first township with this question. So if we can find out who in Ron O'Brien's office has the buster portfolio, and the septic and the water and sewer portfolio, they'll tell you what the opinion is and what has to be done to allow you to.
It's just unfortunate that I've got an Ohio revised code I'm fighting against, and that's a fight I can't win.
I wouldn't say it's a fight. I think you just need to find out where the path is.
That's a legality.
And where the AG is, where the AG, the Attorney General has opined on what you can and cannot do, and gosh, call a lawyer that knows and works with every day, and they'll tell you in half an hour.
But I think the thing is, they know the owners, but they can't contact them.
Yeah, because these are actually properties that we've even mowed for 6 years, correct. 7 years.
So it's not a matter of calling them and saying, get a waiver.
Yeah, so. You can't, well, one's dead, and we can't find the other ones.
Well, then you go to the probate court. I mean, there are lots and lots of ways to get there, and it just, the recorder, Mingo, and the auditor have, I misspoke again. County folks can tell you who's running the LLC that's in the estate that's in probate, and you'll find out. And there's a way to get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these little things. Got some quirks I'm trying to work through. I just want to make sure we're covered, and that's what we're going to.
Yeah, we can sit here and talk about it all night.
We're not going to.
You're working on it.
I got it.
It's in your hands.
I got it.
I know you're going to take care of it.
You got it.
Let's move on.
I'm going to. This is the agreement. I just need to get some signatures on it here on the bottom of this page.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
See you in a couple weeks. You're welcome back. You're welcome back, sir.
And then this would be. I can get with you on this in a minute. I tell you what. I have one last.
Hopefully, it'll help us.
Byron, I'm sorry. I have one last thing.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, see, I always defer to you, and this time I couldn't. This has been something that I've been, and I'm glad Byron's sitting here because he'll be able to help me on this. This is something we've been working on because it's an issue that we're having. I've spoke with all three of you about it, is the radios in our trucks. We have tried everything. Byron's old handheld radios, we tried to get them to work in our trucks. The problem we're running into is the radio systems that we have in our trucks, our dump trucks, is so old. If anybody knows how the banding works, they're what on called a 27 low band. I mean, these things are so old. You can't get parts for them. You can't buy radios to replace them. You can't even buy antennas to work on them anymore. We've got two radios that are down. So now we have two trucks that we can't communicate with. And when we're all out plowing snow, we're all out working, or I'm in a dump truck, or Tommy's in a truck, and Harold's in the backhoe, Harold's backing up. Now, granted, I can pick a phone up and call him, but by that time he's ran into us or we've done something, everybody needs to know what the kind of work we're doing. Everybody needs to know what everybody's doing all the time. So we're into a situation where we're going to have to replace the radios. Me trying to do the best I can within our budget and try not to spend any money or the least amount of money that I can to solve the problem that we've got. Byron had some old handheld radios, that old 2000 series, that we thought we could get rebanded through the county, have our own channel, then we would be okay. We wouldn't have no investment, no cost in the actual radio. Took it down to BNC, the guy kind of laughed, said, no, that's not going to work. When you all started reading resolutions at the last meeting, I asked you to table a resolution because we had the old car radios that were in their cars to possibly put into our trucks and use, and those won't work.
So while Matt, you're not going to use those? So
no, so you'll be able to redo it.
Will you bring that resolution back to us?
Yeah, I completely forgot about it, so I'll get it in a very soon. We'll read it the next time.
Okay.
Now, understand, these radios, just like the ones that we were going to try to use of Byron's, their handhelds, the one that he's got on his side now, the ones that are in their cars, I mean, those are like $6,000 radios. BNC Communication, actually, after going down there begging and pleading with them and telling them, you know, that I don't have a whole lot to work with, I need to be able to communicate with my guys in these trucks because it's a safety hazard. I can't have a guy driving down the road talking on his cell phone while he's plowing snow. That just doesn't work. We have to be able to have everybody be able to hear anything. So, five radios to take care of the backhoe, the dump trucks, pickup truck. For five radios, five antennas, installation, and that's in four dump trucks and a backhoe, is only $3,087. That to me
compared to one $6,000 radio.
And I spoke to Byron, and that's what those car radios that we were going to try to use.
Right.
That's what they would have cost. And then if I'd had one went down, I would have to put $6,000 into getting one.
Right.
CBs are cheap.
I asked that question. I'd love it because I'm an old.
Does that include outside speakers?
I can get external speakers.
I think you should put an external speaker on there, so if you're outside the truck working, you can call on the radio.
As long as we can find a way to put an on-off switch on that exterior speaker, because when I first started, the old truck had one on there.
Right, right.
And that was when I first started, and the guys really didn't know a whole lot about me, and they were sitting there talking about me one day, and I loved every minute of it. I just stood there and listened to them because their speaker was on.
You can put a, what's called, I think, the center off.
Yeah, we got that's no problem. That's something I can get that worked out. But this, I do not think, and Byron can you maybe help me out, I don't think I'm going to find a better deal on five radios.
There's no way.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
and they have guaranteed me, these radios will cover everywhere we need to go.
Okay. No base units or nothing.
Will those mount?
No, and even if I needed to put a base unit up in the office, it's only $333.
Or for Melissa.
Yeah. See, there used to be one in there. That's where there's an antenna up on the roof now for an old radio that used to
be in there. And what we can do is because we already have a license. We already have a license to the
for the band
FCC.
Yeah.
Right. FCC. Once I tell them, hey, this is fine, they'll order these radios, we'll get them installed, they'll get us a channel on it, and then they'll move that channel, the new channel, to our...
The old radio.
Yeah.
The old FCC.
And there should not be, and they told me, they said, you know, there should not be a cost to be able to just transfer new radios to that. Keep my fingers crossed on that. Either way, I think we're saving a ton of money.
Why don't we go ahead and put one in there for Melissa?
A base?
I really think she needs one because she's always calling somebody.
She's always calling me.
Well,
and then I can get on the radio and then I can call the guys. Somebody. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I got a couple hesitations.
Would you rather her call you?
I would rather her call me than me call the guys. Yes. And I can explain outside of.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. So you'd rather just have you call you by phone instead of the radio?
Correct.
Okay.
You don't have to explain. You know what you need there.
Yep.
Okay.
There just comes a certain time when those things, you can't turn that off. And they're going to be able to hear everything that's being said in these trucks. And the last thing I need is to have somebody standing at that window where Melissa's doing, or Connie, or somebody's doing business with, and we've got an issue, and that doesn't work out real well.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that later. But I would like for the board to please entertain the fact of let me make our truck safe. Again.
Resolution
17050, but I think he's got a question.
No, I was just going to make a motion.
Oh, it's resolution for Jim Stevens Road Department to purchase.
Do those mount, Jim?
Five
in the trucks.
Radios.
With Bowl and the Cannon?
With antennas?
BNC Communication, yes, the radios.
BNC
and the antennas,
communications.
Actually, I can make you a copy of this, Lisa, and you'll have all the numbers and everything too.
Communications with antennas.
Not to exceed. Plus, you want to add more money on that in case license costs more?
Yeah, it's $3,087. If
just
you
make
want to
it
make
four?
Four 4,000. To be safe.
35?
35.
Yeah. Okay, not to exceed $3,500.
Then if by chance that license don't work and we have to go above that 35, we'll bring it back.
Okay, I'll need a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, John.
And what was
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
What was the resolution number?
It was 17-050.
Is Byron ready?
Well, I think I got just two more things.
Oh, here we go.
two more things. I don't see that many on your list.
I'm sorry, did that begin a question?
No question for the road department?
Do you guys have any questions?
Oh, I had 12 addresses I needed to go over.
No, you had your second.
Police department.
Talk fast, Byron. I'm hungry.
It won't take me long.
Police department,
Smith.
Chief Smith.
I need two of these signed, Lisa, too.
Two of these?
Yeah. I'm giving you three copies, but two of them need to be.
That's all every day, bro.
Here's the second one. John, do you need one to read that? Well, I don't have one either.
So, there's one. I signed.
Do you need to read the whole thing?
I don't think so. I just gave it to you in case you need to refer to it.
You want these, the trustees to sign also?
Yes.
There's your part. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So that now will be hand-delivered to the Board of Elections.
17-050.
Okay.
Jim, do you need me to cut a check tomorrow to purchase these?
Aren't we correcting the language?
We did.
I'm just saying, so we have to read this to correct the language.
You mean reread it in the meeting?
My understanding is, see, the last time we passed this resolution, 1743, the language wasn't correct.
Correct. This resolution will resend the last one.
Correct. So I'm just saying we don't have that. We don't have that resolution here. So
you mean the last one?
Right. So we need to. If you're going to resend 043, you can't do that. What you're going to have to do is
amend. You guys can amend.
Amend resolution 17-043.
Yes, you can amend that.
Okay.
With the corrections made.
Right.
That way we don't
Which way is the best way? Do we just want to resend it?
We're just going to amend.
You can amend it.
Resolution, but 17-043.
...2017 police levy with new corrections. And then I need a second.
A second.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Then we're good.
Okay.
Amend.
Need what signatures?
Amend.
Is needed on
resolution.
Yeah. Yeah,
17-043.
Is that it for that one? The only other thing I wanted to bring up is an incident that occurred with one of our part-time officers.
Jim.
Two of these?
Yes. Yeah, just two.
Right here. Of course, I wasn't paying attention. I signed
this
my name.
This will be your favorite
and then I printed it
officer.
With the opposite.
So I'll leave you here.
I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go. Just make sure I get copies of those, please. Go ahead.
I'll give you a copy of this.
George, turn your paper off and come back.
Oh.
Is it the book?
Okay, yeah, you can just hand it to me later.
Yeah, I will. January 2nd, at about 7 o'clock, two of our officers were dispatched, one in overdose, at 1039 Harrisburg Pike on a non-breather. It was Officer Edwards and Officer Watts. And when they got there, the family was doing CPR. Officer Watts took over CPR until the medics got there. the gentleman, I believe, was given two or three different doses of Narcan, and then he was revived after the chest compressions. So that's definitely good work on the part of the officers and also the medics.
Yeah. So you guys was carrying the Narcan or?
No, the medics had the Narcan. She just did CPR.
Okay.
So definitely brought him back because he was blue at the time.
Mrs. Jessica? You said she. Who was
Watts.
That? Watts, okay.
Holly.
Holly Watts, yeah.
Was
not Jessica, but Holly.
Was that a residence there?
Yeah, 1039 Harrisburg Pike. It's just down the street from Grandma's Pizza. So, other than that, I didn't have anything.
That's pretty good. I didn't hear about that somehow.
Yeah, I probably sent out an email, but I had them write me up a short summary.
Well, that was really good.
And I summarized
like to put that in the minutes.
Yeah. So, a little good PR there. Questions?
Selling cars? We took care of that, didn't we?
Gary took care of the cars.
Correct.
Yeah.
Excuse me, about those cars, are you referring to the ones that you sold to New Holland?
Yes.
Why are we getting rid of them?
Because they have excess of 130,000 miles, and they're not actually safe to use in a patrol capacity.
Does New Holland know that?
They do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're buying them as is.
Yep.
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you want dibs on one?
No.
Okay. That'd be a nice project for you, Barry.
Okay, thank you.
Sometimes other departments buy them for parts.
They do. They're going to use them, they said, for a short time until they get their funding and get new cars.
They just need to get through. And sometimes, like you say, they're not making those cars anymore, so if they need parts out of the inside.
Yeah, they can.
The cages and stuff like that.
Right, they can park those out.
So you keep their other cars running.
Number 8.
Okay.
John Flesh.
No other questions for the police department?
Nothing, George.
Okay, thank you, sir. You have anything, John?
I'll get you a
copy. Yeah, I have a list of things. I do not, sir.
Shut it down.
Okay, we're having a budget meeting on the 14th at 12 o'clock.
February.
For you?
14th.
No.
I'll get with my people and have them get a hold of their people.
Hey, we're not on the 14th.
15th? You change it to 15th now?
Yes.
Okay, 15th?
What?
It's the 15th. Change it to 15th.
And it's for the permanent appropriations budget.
Okay.
It's for the your appropriations, you know, every line item.
Let me ask you a question. Our quarterly.
No.
This is the budget meeting.
It's the budget meeting.
We're good, and we're going to do it all together.
All together.
Yeah. And it's just appropriations. By then, I'll have everything in there, and then you just explain it to them.
Remind me, buddy.
Chief, we're having a budget meeting on the 15th.
At noon. And it's the permanent.
You need to get a hold of Chief.
I'll send out an email.
We'll make sure everybody knows it.
Communication meeting is on
the
31st. Now, this is an open meeting. It's on a budget meeting. But there won't be any questions from the audience on it because it's going to be a long, all-day sit here budget meeting.
4 hours.
Very boring. But if anybody is welcome to come, it's an open meeting.
When's their coffee going
on Saturday? We probably will fire up the coffee machine.
Hey, Barry, that's what you guys just heard grumbling back here because it was heating.
Okay, Ralph?
I don't think I have got anything else. I was going to ask Chief Welch about phone reimbursement for that one we were just on.
Sure he'll be working on that. Sure
okay, let's move on.
He's hungry.
I don't have anything more other than I think Ralph's got something about.
Well, she might be cleaning up. She might be to remind everybody that the spring cleanup will be April 29th, you said a time yet, Jim?
Probably the same, 9 to 12.
9 to 12, okay. And that's your tire drive and all that thing, too.
2017
so.
Ford. Tire.
And I know Mr. Cook, Barry and some, maybe a couple other residents still interested in finding out about that property down there. Will you set any date on it?
I haven't. That's going to be Melissa's really handling that. I have no idea.
I know which one you're talking about, Barry. I'll get it with Melissa.
I don't know what she's going on.
Well, I spoke with her a few days ago, and she still didn't have all the information back that she needed. So nothing's happened yet. She's still waiting on that. So.
There's a lot of stuff on her plate.
Is this a resolution that needs John?
Yeah, that's what Don Brochus had originally gave us. We read the resolution for
His money.
For
contracting with him.
We have to put money in there.
We have to put money in there. Last year was 65K. He right. did not use all that money,
so
but...
So we'll still put it in at the same time this year.
65K.
65,000, yeah. Okay. Do we need to do anything new on that?
I know what he used was over $55,000.
I don't remember which one it was, the resolution.
It was a resolution, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what we would do is we would do it as an amendment, but I don't...
The resolution number ought to be on the top of there, shouldn't it? Take that off.
It just says for the year of 2017.
Okay, then it really...
Let me see.
Was it a resolution?
No, it's not going to be on the back of here either. We can still, we can do it the next meeting. Yes, sir, we can do it at the next meeting.
Some of them, yeah, they are.
Do you want to hang on to this?
We're there until...
Yeah, we just, he had typed that all up. Okay, so just hang on to it and we'll just do an amendment. We just, I'll get the, get...
There's a book with a different
resolution for OSHA's.
That's a very extreme amount, frankly.
The ones you might see at
well,
11 or 10.
Well, you just it's put up, well, we've had it clear up to $89,000 before, and then we moved it down to 65, and then...
Somebody's awful damn stupid then.
Well, that was Mr. Guyton and well, the board at that particular time, because they were doing all that stuff for the casino and everything.
Okay,
and
well...
Okay, questions, Don?
We're not doing a casino anymore.
Any more questions for the audience?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
I third.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Thank yes. you, guys. I'm going to try to figure out what time his classes are. Now, what did you want to talk to me about?
What am I going to talk to about?
55, 357.
What time are those classes, boss? This is a 15-hour day. I may not be able to wait.
Oh, God, I know what you mean.